can expect to hear more details about the federal budget in the lead-up to its release on Tuesday. Treasurer Scott Morrison has indicated he'd like to release the measures in the budget in advance to allow him to focus on the big-picture vision in his budget speech. Mr Morrison has already confirmed small and medium businesses will be the biggest winners, and middle-class workers on $80,000 or more are tipped to receive tax cuts, which would take effect the day before the election. The horse riding community has been plunged into mourning over the death of a teenager who was fatally injured during a competition at a major equestrian event in Sydney. 19-year-old Caitlin Fisher from Bairnsdale in Victoria fell from her horse at Fence 2 of a cross-country event at the Sydney International Horse Trials yesterday morning. Olympic equestrian rider Shane Rowe told Macquarie the whole community is in shock.
Many of our competitors are also our very good friends.
Equestrian Australia has extended its condolences to Miss Fisher's family on behalf of the sport, and hundreds of tributes and condolence messages have been posted on social media. From today, Australians with advanced melanoma will have access to a new treatment option on the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme. More than 12,000 Australians are diagnosed with melanoma each year, making it the fourth most common cancer in Australian men and women. Dr. Georgina Long from the Melanoma Institute of Australia says the new listing is welcome news for patients who are battling the disease.
For Australian patients with metastatic melanoma, that's melanoma that has spread to distant areas in the body like the liver, the lung, the brain, the bone, we now have another listing on the PBS of a drug called nivolumab. It uses the body's own immune system to kill and fight the melanoma cancer cells.
A teenager has been charged after allegedly pointing a fake gun in the face of a Sydney police officer. Police said the 15-year-old boy pulled what appeared to be a pistol on a sergeant in Hornsby yesterday afternoon, dropping it when the officer drew his own firearm. The pistol was later found to be an imitation. The teenager has been refused bail and is due to appear before Children's Court today. A former IT worker accused of stabbing his wife's niece to death and dumping her body in waters off the New South Wales Central Coast has been remanded in custody. The naked body of 25-year-old Meng Mei Leng was discovered floating face down inside a blowhole at Snapper Point last weekend. Ms. Leng's accused killer, her 27-year-old uncle Derek Barrett, fronted Parramatta Bail Court via video link yesterday charged with murder. Police will allege Barrett murdered the young woman at Campsie while his wife was away for the weekend. His next court date has been set down for Burwood Local Court on Wednesday. Overseas, and Kenya's president has set fire to thousands of elephant tusks and rhino horns with an illegal market value of almost $200 million Australian dollars as it seeks a worldwide ban on the ivory trade. The incineration of 105 tonnes of ivory from about 8,000 animals was the biggest ever incineration of its kind. Before lighting the first pyre, President Uhuru Kenyatta told assembled dignitaries it was important to make the statement that ivory was worthless unless it was attached to an elephant. Also in news, a grandmother and four grandchildren have been killed in floods in Texas after a storm system unleashed tornadoes and torrential rains on several US states. This is AIR News. In NRL, North Queensland has trounced Manly 34-18 at Brookvale Oval last night. On top of the crushing defeat, the Sea Eagles have lost star Dylan Walker to a leg injury midway through the second half. Despite Manly officials insisting he was fine and that he was only taken off as a precaution, their star recruit spent most of the second half on the bench. The win equals the Cowboys' best start to a season, matching the 7-2 opening to their 2006 campaign. Captain Jonathan Thurston told Fox Sports it was a solid performance.
Tough and proud club, and they come to play every time. So, disappointed with the 18 points, but defended really well on that trial.
Adelaide ace Eddie Betts has booted four goals in a 33-point win against Fremantle, which hands the Dockers an unwanted AFL record. The Crows triumphed 14-13-97 to 8-16-64 at Adelaide Oval to leave Fremantle winless after six rounds. The Dockers now take an inglorious record. They are the first club in AFL history to finish minor premier the previous year and then start the next season with six consecutive losses. Meanwhile, GWS Giants are looking every inch a potential AFL finalist with a stunning record-breaking 75-point home thrashing of Premiers Hawthorn. Also in sport, Formula One Championship leader Nico Rosberg has secured pole position for the Russian Grand Prix, and the Queensland Firebirds have shot to a 61-51 win over the New South Wales Swifts in the netball. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. Sydney weather. Partly cloudy, areas of fog in the west in the early morning. There's a medium percent chance, a 50% chance of showers in the morning and the chance of a thunderstorm chiefly in the west also this morning. Gee, it goes on forever this, but Sydney's heading for potentially a top temperature of 27 degrees today with that shower or two, fingers crossed. Jimmy, what about out at Bondi and down at Bega?
Gee, the Bureau's written War and Peace to give us the weather today, haven't they? Bondi, 25 degrees, very sunny, and then let's go down to Bega. Morning fog, possible shower, a maximum temperature of 25 degrees.
On Sky Sports Radio, we bring you Australia's most comprehensive racing coverage. Key to that is our team of experienced presenters, including Russell Beach.
Every race day is different, and that's what makes it so exciting. It's a great buzz when we guide our listeners into backing winners through the Tab Market Movers.
Tab Market Movers, caller updates, all geared to help listeners enjoy and hopefully profit from their punting. Russell Beach, part of our national racing service, every day on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Mum, have you heard of the Four Seasons?
Yes, Lano, you'll live there.
Mum, I'm inventing a new season.
What is it called, Lano?
Kitchen and laundry season, and it's on now at Bingley.
What happens in this season?
Well, in kitchen, we've got special bonus offers on the latest fridge designs, like French doors and side-by-sides.
And laundry?
Special offers on the latest combined washer dryers, top loaders and front loaders.
That's our kitchen and laundry extravaganza.
I'm calling it a season.
You're a man for all seasons.
Check out the great kitchen and laundry deals on now at Bingley.
And there's great deal more.
Whether you're building or renovating, before you decide on your choice of windows or doors, take a closer look
at Wideline's brand new website, where you'll find our U-Beaut online quoting app.
Just upload your plans or tell us what you require and receive your free quote within 48 hours.
Even if it's only a few windows you need, we're here to help. No problems.
Wideline's quoting app is open 24 hours. You can even save your new quotes or edit old ones.
Time to take a closer look at widelinewindowsanddoors.com.au.
Some Hawthorn have done it. The first team in the 18-10 competition to go back to back.
It's going to be the magnificent Mark Marquez. It's the first time he's finished the Motor GP of Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
Prince of Penzance from Max Dynamite. Prince of Penzance, it's history at Flemington. Michelle Payne. Prince of Penzance beat Max Dynamite.
And best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
Welcome to the program. Dare I say it, Ray Thomas?
A massive show coming up.
Massive show. The 3 hours, Ray. There's only one word to describe them.
Good fun.
Massive.
Massive. One word, not two. Good fun. I'll say fun. Yeah.
Fun. It will be fun. Let's hope it is. Let's come along for the ride if you like. Be a part of the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well. 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767 272. And of course, get us on the tweets at Big Sports WEND. We've got our event cinema quiz questions coming up. We'll have Gerald Ryan, a winner for Gerald yesterday with Spill the Beans. Very impressive. Darren Biedman, furnaces. Lit up the track.
Scorched around the turn.
Oh, nice. Yeah. There we go. Rory Hutchings. Interesting story around Rory Hutchings and what Mr. Waller is asking him to do.
Each day.
Every day.
An official weigh-in.
Get in there and get on the scale, son. So that work is obviously paying off too with some success for Rory. Andy Pascal. Well, where's Andy Pascalides today? I think he's in Adelaide. He's actually got some hosting duties, I believe, at the grand final at the Adelaide Oval. So he'll be apoplectic about how excited he is. I mean, we know who Andy sings for. We'll find out who you sing for throughout the course of the morning as well. We've got our Z&Z quiz. We've got Zorb Ryan from Rugby League point of view. This will be interesting. Got a lot of things to get through with Zorb. There's a lot of Rugby League news flying around. We'll do the same with Dean Bulldog Richie. Trent Lanscale from tab.com.au. Our legend of the game, appropriate given the A-League Grand Final today, Mark Bozza Bosnich. What an incredible career/life that man has had. Just incredible. So a huge day for him from an A-League point of view, and we've been lucky enough to have a chat to him about his career. It was a decorated career, quite incredible career. So we look forward to that one as well. But there is a lot to talk about from the world of rugby league, most notably some of the games that have been played, some of the off-field dramas that we've had involving players, involving bunkers. Lots to talk about this morning. And, of course, we've got Ray Thomas's favourite race meeting at any given stage of the year, and that is the standalone meeting in Hawkesbury, which was on yesterday, of course. And I have to ask, first up, how it was. Good morning to you, Ray Thomas.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, good day at Hawkesbury yesterday. Just over 10,300 there.
Wow.
For the standard, which at Hawkesbury, Jimmy, is just about...
it's chock-a-block, isn't
just
it?
Just about, no, standing room only, pretty much. Of course, it was Brian Fletcher's last meeting as CEO and the 11th standalone. 2006 was the first. Jim, it seems like yesterday. So they've been really successful. The track was funny yesterday, Jim. Invariably, the jockeys got out wide, and the wider the better. Amavasio came right down the outside fence in the Hawkesbury Gold Cup. Then you had the Godolphin Crown when Two Blue, carrying 59 kilos, stuck on the inside and made a brave attempt to lead all the way, and only Nancy was able to catch her, and she wasn't that far wider than Two Blue. So difficult to work out the track, given that they're running fantastic times as well. Furnaces in his race broke the track record by more than half a second, despite racing wide. So one of those days, Jimmy, but good meeting. Chris Waller trained three winners. Brent Navdella trained a treble as well. Unfortunately, did get a suspension, and he'll miss the Scone Carnival in 2 weeks. But I know I'm a bit biased, Jimmy, but I do like the Hawkesbury meeting. It's only 10 minutes from home, so I enjoy it.
So is that why you like it?
No,
Ray?
But
it's very self-centred.
Not
that,
at all.
That doesn't strike me as your way.
No, I like the track. I like the area. And
it's a beautiful setting there, just
is.
In the mountains, isn't it? Yeah.
Picturesque provincial track.
Can I ask Brian Fletcher, who's a friend of the program, and congratulations to him on an outstanding 26-year career. As the CEO of the Hawkesbury Race Club. Emotional at all yesterday?
Not at all.
Really?
No, well, he starts in his new gig as CEO full-time at Panthers tomorrow.
Right.
And I think his focus is right on that. And, Jimmy, you were at Bathurst yesterday.
Yep.
The Cardiac Kids did it again, Penrith. Gee.
They were leading by 18 points to 6.
Yeah, I was keeping track of the score. And I thought, well, they're home now. And then I looked at it again. It was 18-0. I thought, not again. The seventh or eighth consecutive game this year that they've been decided by less than 6 points?
Well, their biggest margin in any game that they've had this year is round one versus the Raiders, and that was 8 points. And that was a try to Sean Fensham in the very last minute of the game.
Eight games in a row.
So the game was in the balance. So all nine games have been in the balance. They actually are record holders in the history of rugby league at the elite level in this country.
Mm.
No team has as small a margin of victory or defeat than the Penrith Panthers of 2016.
Cardiac Kids.
It's just incredible. And, of course, leading 18 points to 6 with 10 minutes to go, you just knew there was going to be something in the game, and that's exactly what happened. There was a lot of controversy around that. I know Ricky Stewart not happy about a decision at the end. I was not happy that it was referred to the bunker in the first place. And then you think, well... I mean, the bunker's the biggest issue in rugby league at the moment.
Is this the field goal you're talking about, Jim?
What I'm concerned about, Ray, and I sort of made the point through social media on the week, is that the more I look at it, you know, I've been a big advocate of technology in sport, but the more I look at it and the impact that it's having on players and the impact it's having on the officials on the field, the less I want the bunker to be involved. So I want the bunker to only be involved in tries. So from that point of view, stay out of everything else.
There's got to be a demarcation, isn't there? Because right now it's getting involved in various parts of the play, and that's upsetting the players, upsetting the referees. Is Ricky Stewart right? The referees are losing confidence to make a decision?
Absolutely. Well, I don't know whether it's a confidence thing.
They're scared.
Why would you make a decision when you can just get a check by the bunker? And it's creeping into all parts of the game. And initially, my overall thought was that's a good thing. Now, I'm adamant that it's a bad thing because of the impact that it's having on the players and the referees. And as a result of that, I thought, well, only do it for tries.
Yep.
Only use technology for tries. And then, really, when you're talking about it, going for a field goal to win the game is more important than any one try, because that's game deciding. So you look at that incident in yesterday's game at Bathurst, and you think, well, Paul Vaughan, was he really square at marker? Did he get an opportunity to run past Trent Merrin? No. because Trent Merrin stood there as a blocker. And that, as of 2016, is illegal. So they referred it upstairs. And in essence, they came back with the wrong call from upstairs. So not only did Gavin Reynolds not want to make the decision himself, then they made the decision that, in my mind, wasn't right. In saying that, he wouldn't have got to Peter Wallace, but he was denied the opportunity. It's no different from when there's an obstruction, when you know that the defender wasn't going to get there, but because he was denied the opportunity, it's a no try.
We were discussing this last week, and you and I have a different view on that. Like, a common sense rule again comes in. But I know where you're coming from, Jim. It should be more like cricket, where it's black and white as to what the video technology can be used for, as distinct from what it's been the last couple of weeks, where it seems almost everything, particularly the St George Roosters game on Anzac Day, which a lot of controversy out of that game.
Huge amount of controversy.
Should it be more black and white, as you would say, Jim, and these are the things that the bunker can rule on? These are things that can't.
Well, the problem with that is that cricket's a very different game, and as a result of that, you can have very black and white decisions. Did he hit the ball? Did he not hit the ball? Did he catch the ball before the hit the ground? Did he not catch the ball? The difficulty with the cricket one comes around the LBW decision, where you're doing predictive path of the ball. But there's so many discretionary decisions made in rugby league. Mm. And that's why there's a lot of pressure on referees. And as a result of that, the pressure is now transferred into the bunker. I mean, we saw the one last night. I saw the Cowboys versus Manly game where the highlights with Jamie Lyon threw himself on the ground. He threw himself on the ground.
Terrible dive.
And as a result of that, the try is taken from them. Mm. So, you know, this is where I'd love to make it black and white. I'd love to make it black and white so that as a fan sitting at home, you think, oh, that happened there, right, that must be a no try. And they go, bang, no try. Mm. If you put common sense in there, if you put football sense in there or whatever you want to call it, and you get different answers for what seem to be similar incidents.
But we're getting different answers now, Jim. That's the problem. On a positive note, Corden was back last week. Pierce back last night. Jared Warrior Hargraves played some minutes. The Roosters 38-0. Is this the start of their resurgence?
I wish I backed them yesterday to make the eight.
You think they can do it?
Potentially, yeah. Mm. Well, I wouldn't put my hard-earned, I suppose, on if I didn't. Well, I haven't yet, so I'm waiting for a price from tab.com.au. I might have to ask Trent Lanscale about that one.
Their second win of the season, albeit against the Knights, but massive confidence booster for the whole team, knowing they've got... Well, their two star players are back now.
Well, they know exactly what they've been missing, haven't they?
Yep.
With Mitchell Pearce.
His calm and his composure and his football brain.
And the impact that's going to have on Jackson Hastings.
Yep.
You know, the
freeze him up
dramatically.
And Jerry Warrior Hargraves, how much have they missed him?
And to think they weren't that far away in other games. They weren't that far away. And they could very well be 5-4. Mm. They're not, but they could very well be. Let's go through those scores. Incredible one on Thursday. 30 points to 22. Where did that come from? Mm. Rabbitohs fans, give us a call. What is going on in the Burrow? 13-53-53. The Eels, 20 points to 12 over the Bulldogs. And at this point, my comment about the Kieran Foran saga is whatever's been going on, he strikes me as the most professional, direct, decent...
Genuine guy.
Genuine young man that you'd ever have anything to do with. And I hope... that everything is fine with Kieran Foran.
He penned that letter to his team, which we got an access to in the papers this morning, and I think that shows the level of his commitment to the team and his teammates, that he would put such a heartfelt letter to his team to be read out prior to the game. And look, what he's going through is personal issues, and, you know, we wish him the best and hope he's back sooner rather than later, Jim.
We'll speak to Zorba about that. I know he and Zorba are very close, so I'll be very keen to get an insight into Kieran Foran. 19 points to 18, the Panthers over the Raiders. The Roosters 38-0 over the Knights. The Seagulls beaten by the Cowboys at home. That continues to march on, doesn't it? 34 points to 18. A few late tries there for the Seagulls. And what about this? Ray Thomas's team... GWS, they didn't just beat Hawthorn, the defending premiers, back to back to back. 158 to 83, that's a shellacking.
All of a sudden, some experts in the AFL are now believing this team could challenge for the flag.
Oh, I was going to say top four, but
win it.
Really?
Dermot Brewer and Alistair Lynch did that game yesterday, and they're asked after the game, could GWS win the flag? Of course, could's an operative word, but both replied... Yes, they can. They've got the talent. I know Hawthorn were a little bit undermanned yesterday, but they still had a lot of their grand final stars there. and they weren't in the contest, which was extraordinary.
Get your front row tickets to the Stevie J Show. That's what we say here. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with calls. We'll come back with SMS. They're flying in already. 1353 53. It's the Big Sports Breakfast. It's the weekend edition with Ray and Jimmy.
Sky Sports Radio will bring you the latest on the upcoming Queensland Winter Carnival.
Gates open, racing.
Our team, led by caller Josh Fleming and form expert Bernadette Cooper, will bring you all the colour and excitement of this unique carnival. Doomben, Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast. And on June 4, we return to a brand new Eagle Farm.
Are you reeling in the yeast?
Don't miss coverage of the Queensland Winter Carnival here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Lano, do you know what May is?
Nope.
Wait till your child mother's group that.
Mum, you're a bit old for mother's group, I think.
Wait till your child mother's group that.
Okay, how many are in it?
About 7 million.
Oh, why don't you tell your mother's group this? From now till Mother's Day, we'll have pink price tickets throughout Bingley. Each one will be a special deal. And there'll be a chance to win a $1,000 shopping spree at Bingley.
You just told them.
Can't win. I'm Lionel Lee.
I'm Yenta Lee. I'm a proud mother, sometimes.
For full details of terms and conditions, see bingley.com.au.
On your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Show with Jimmy and Ray. And Jimmy, just a couple of quick SMSs already. Good morning to our listeners. This one from Michelle from Dubbo. Hey guys, you knew it would be coming. Huge congratulations to the Matthew Dale team.
Oh, the Matty Dale.
With a great win from Fells. Cheers. Good on you, Michelle. Keep him coming. He won the Victory Stakes yesterday, Jim. So
good horse, huh?
He's a good horse. Won over $1 million now.
Is that
it's amazing,
right?
Yeah, and a lot more to come over the Brisbane Winter Carnival.
Wow. Have they got a popcorn machine in the bunker? That's from Starsky. I don't know. Ask Hutch. Starsky? Not sure about that one. Let's go to the open line. Oh, this man, he was in fine form at Fox Sports the other day. He was coming in to watch the Wanderers play in their semi-final. What a game it was, too, against the Brisbane Roar. 5-4, they had a win.
That.
Oh, amazing.
Wow.
It's the Greek Bulldog. G'day, GP.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ray. How are you, boys?
Very
good
well,
morning,
mate.
Jimmy, I need your expert opinion.
Ooh.
What do you think is going on at the Bulldogs? The style of football we're playing, but we know we've got the players to play better. What do you think it is?
It's a question that's creeping up more and more. Is what's going on? Is the style of football that has served them, I'm not going to say so well, but fairly well over the course of, you could almost call it, you want to call it the Des Hasler era, you could call it the James Graham era. You know, two grand finals in that time, 2012, 2014. But the way they played on Friday night, it looked like at different stages they'd get the football, GB, and not have a plan for that part of the field. It looked like they had hardly trained together. Mm.
That's what it looks like, but the concerning aspect of the way they're playing is it happens every week.
That's right. Yeah.
Something change. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, and the thing about it is the effectiveness of forwards running over the advantage line, and when James Graham gives that pass on to either Josh Reynolds or to Moses Mbai,
support players, yeah.
That attacking player can only do one thing, and that is run an inside-out line.
Mm. So yeah, they're running sideways.
That's right. That's right. They all run into a corner sort of thing.
Yeah. And the backs don't see the ball, so they're flat-footed anyway. It's very unusual what he's trying to achieve. He's obviously, Des is playing for statistics. He's got a game plan which he's following. We've got to do percentages, completions, etc. But it's not working.
Well, here's the funny thing about it. They were still running sixth.
Mm.
You know, I know they lost on Friday night, and they'll get shuffled down the ladder at that. But
yeah.
You know,
it's false. It's a false figure that running six. We got lucky when we played the better sides. We can't beat them above us. The last sides, we haven't had a good win really.
No, I'm thinking back to that game against Penrith in round two. Penrith probably the better side for all the game, and then
lost
the Bulldogs win it. You know, but I guess every team has those stories, GB.
I know, but you look at the Roosters last night, and they've come into the game, players coming back from injury. Mm. Things aren't quite aligning at the moment for them. But yet, they were good enough to beat Newcastle at the bottom of the ladder by 40-odd points, 30-odd points. And that shows you that without much effort, but at least they got the job done. If they didn't beat them by 20-plus, people say, oh, the Roosters are not back. Mm. But they did do the job.
Yeah.
We're just so far behind the eight ball, but we'll see what happens through the season.
They have an amazing capacity to find something when they need it. the Bulldogs club.
They do. Desi Hasler does.
And you doubt Desi at your own peril in many ways. But the way that they're just so flat, you know, the output that they're getting, I know he's easy to be the flogging boy, the whipping boy, but Tony Williams.
Yep.
Really?
From him, yeah.
Like, you look at Jason Taumalolo. There was a point, mate. You look at Jason Taumalolo and you look at Tony Williams and you go,
that
could be you.
Taumalolo's contribution in the game. Question without notice, Jimmy. Has Mitchell Pearce suddenly put himself back into contention for Origin?
Absolutely.
He was good last night.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. Anyway, look, get a cause view. There's Doug on the line. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Terrific, Doug.
Really well,
thanks,
Doug.
Thanks for taking my call. Talking about Lachlan Cook, he's a good player the way he's been playing. Would he make an Australian in the team, an Australian team?
Well, he hasn't made the Australian team. But I tell you what, Doug, this I know they don't, but if they had a kangaroo tour, you'd take Lachlan Cook.
Yeah.
I thought he's 40. I didn't see much of last night, so I can't comment on last night. But I thought the 40 minutes he put in the week before in that game against Parramatta was...
He's a brave. He's so brave, isn't he? He's a bravest fullback.
He's brave.
He's not overly big, but he
can ball play. Yeah. He can kick. Yeah. He can run the football. Yeah. Positionally, he never gets caught out at fullback.
Yeah. Doug, did you watch the Cowboys game last night?
Yes, I did.
That first 40.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that first 40 minutes, they were just about perfect, weren't they?
Yeah. And I reckon he should be in the blue side too, because he's been going the way he's been professional playing and playing very good, you know.
Tedesco's now got that long-term injury.
Yes.
And I dare say Lachlan Coote's got the inside running, Jim, for the fullback position.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I like the place anyway. Up in the country, they play very good football up at Forbes and all that all the time.
Well, I tell you what, if every side in the National Rugby League played like the North Queensland Cowboys, they'd be flying. The whole comp, like, they play a great... I know it's easier when you've got those great players in your side, but, gee, they play a good brand of footy.
Monster forward pack gets them go forward. Thurston, Morgan, their halves are brilliant. They are great to watch. We should give Doug a... Ultimate America CD.
You are a soft touch, mate.
Four CDs in this pack, Jim.
Four CDs coming your way, Doug.
Producer Jeremy's landed us with a heap of CDs today, so if you want to ring up...
courtesy of Sony Music, too. Thanks.
So if you want to ring up and SMS, contribute to the show, we've got plenty of CDs to give away this morning.
The inference was there that all these CDs were coming from producer Jeremy, and that's certainly not the case. He picks the eyes out of them, gets the ones that he wants, and
but
then
we're all one team here, Jim. So producer Jeremy's contribution here, outstanding this morning.
We're all one team until you blokes start sniping at me behind my back. But anyway,
doesn't happen.
Morning, gents. If somehow you could use Snicko on the head of Nathan Ross, it would have shown a slight touch, and he stays down. Then Joe Burgess gets Pollux and gets up. For the first time ever, I applaud the Roosters for this. This is Dog's Breath from Auburn. I didn't see that one. Did you happen to see that one?
It's typical Dog's Breath. He's got a good way of looking at things, hasn't he? So.
Well, we've got to talk about the $40,000 breach notice. It's not a fine yet. It's just a breach notice. And Trent Robinson and the Roosters might actually try and defend that one. How they would try and defend it, I don't know.
Impossible.
Yeah, no. And less flippantly... I have an agreement with Trent Robinson on what he was saying about the creep of the bunker.
Yeah.
And the bunker, and I understand that final decision where the shot from Dylan Napa, the head clash from Boyd Cortner and Tane Milne, that was a wrong decision, and they were denied an opportunity.
And they had the ball, first tackle.
Yeah, and then I know that, you know, even Paul McGregor couldn't explain why a couple of his players stayed down.
Yep.
But the attack on Ben Cummins... you might have felt that, but it's completely unacceptable. And of course, the words with officialdom during the tunnel means
the tunnel,
that you've exposed yourself to a $40,000 fine, and you know there's no way out of that.
Yeah, no, not a good look for Trent Robinson and the Roosters, but they're back on track as of last night. This one's from Darren. Sorry, Jimmy.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Mm-hmm. When does the NRL next put Ben Cummins on a Roosters game?
Exactly, yeah. Stay tuned. I'd love to know.
He's painted them into a corner.
Yep, I'd love to know. And be there when it happens. So puts a lot of pressure on Ben Cummins, doesn't it? Unbelievable pressure.
Yep.
Well, if he has to control a Roosters game.
Yeah, huge pressure. And that's not an accident.
Very tactical decision.
Yeah, wasn't an accident.
Very tactical
decision. That he did it. You want to have an SMS?
Here's one from Darren from Macquarie Fields. Firstly, Jamie Lyon deserves a gold medal for that dive last night, Jim. Also, why is one person not doing all eight games and has...
And as for my boys... Looks like to me the hunger isn't there. His boys are the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Ah, following the outside.
So, you're right about that. What's gone wrong with the Rabbitohs? We'll ask it again. 13:53:53. We've got the news coming up after that. Rates replays.
Your favourite part of the show.
Australians can expect to hear more details about the federal budget in the lead-up to its release on Tuesday. Treasurer Scott Morrison has indicated he'd like to release the measures in the budget in advance to allow him to focus on the big-picture vision in his budget speech. Mr Morrison has already confirmed small and medium businesses will be the biggest winners, and middle-class workers on $80,000 or more are tipped to receive tax cuts, which would take effect the day before the election. The horse riding community has been plunged into mourning over the death of a teenager who was fatally injured during a competition at a major equestrian event in Sydney. 19-year-old Caitlin Fisher from Bairnsdale in Victoria fell from her horse at Fence 2 of a cross-country event at the Sydney International Horse Trials yesterday morning. Olympic equestrian rider Shane Rowe told Macquarie the whole community is in shock.
Many of our competitors are also our very good friends.
Equestrian Australia has extended its condolences to Miss Fisher's family on behalf of the sport, and hundreds of tributes and condolence messages have been posted on social media. From today, Australians with advanced melanoma will have access to a new treatment option on the Pharmaceutical Benefits Scheme. More than 12,000 Australians are diagnosed with melanoma each year, making it the fourth most common cancer in Australian men and women. Dr. Georgina Long from the Melanoma Institute of Australia says the new listing is welcome news for patients who are battling the disease.
For Australian patients with metastatic melanoma, that's melanoma that has spread to distant areas in the body like the liver, the lung, the brain, the bone, we now have another listing on the PBS of a drug called nivolumab. It uses the body's own immune system to kill and fight the melanoma cancer cells.
A teenager has been charged after allegedly pointing a fake gun in the face of a Sydney police officer. Police said the 15-year-old boy pulled what appeared to be a pistol on a sergeant in Hornsby yesterday afternoon, dropping it when the officer drew his own firearm. The pistol was later found to be an imitation. The teenager has been refused bail and is due to appear before Children's Court today. A former IT worker accused of stabbing his wife's niece to death and dumping her body in waters off the New South Wales Central Coast has been remanded in custody. The naked body of 25-year-old Meng Mei Leng was discovered floating face down inside a blowhole at Snapper Point last weekend. Ms. Leng's accused killer, her 27-year-old uncle Derek Barrett, fronted Parramatta Bail Court via video link yesterday charged with murder. Police will allege Barrett murdered the young woman at Campsie while his wife was away for the weekend. His next court date has been set down for Burwood Local Court on Wednesday. Overseas, and Kenya's president has set fire to thousands of elephant tusks and rhino horns with an illegal market value of almost $200 million Australian dollars as it seeks a worldwide ban on the ivory trade. The incineration of 105 tonnes of ivory from about 8,000 animals was the biggest ever incineration of its kind. Before lighting the first pyre, President Uhuru Kenyatta told assembled dignitaries it was important to make the statement that ivory was worthless unless it was attached to an elephant. Also in news, a grandmother and four grandchildren have been killed in floods in Texas after a storm system unleashed tornadoes and torrential rains on several US states. This is AIR News. In NRL, North Queensland has trounced Manly 34-18 at Brookvale Oval last night. On top of the crushing defeat, the Sea Eagles have lost star Dylan Walker to a leg injury midway through the second half. Despite Manly officials insisting he was fine and that he was only taken off as a precaution, their star recruit spent most of the second half on the bench. The win equals the Cowboys' best start to a season, matching the 7-2 opening to their 2006 campaign. Captain Jonathan Thurston told Fox Sports it was a solid performance.
Tough and proud club, and they come to play every time. So, disappointed with the 18 points, but defended really well on our trial on it.
Adelaide ace Eddie Betts has booted four goals in a 33-point win against Fremantle, which hands the Dockers an unwanted AFL record. The Crows triumphed 14-13-97 to 8-16-64 at Adelaide Oval to leave Fremantle winless after six rounds. The Dockers now take an inglorious record. They are the first club in AFL history to finish minor premier the previous year and then start the next season with six consecutive losses. Meanwhile, GWS Giants are looking every inch a potential AFL finalist with a stunning record-breaking 75-point home thrashing of Premiers Hawthorn. Also in sport, Formula One Championship leader Nico Rosberg has secured pole position for the Russian Grand Prix, and the Queensland Firebirds have shot to a 61-51 win over the New South Wales Swifts in the netball. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy for Sydney, areas of fog in the west in the early morning, 50% chance of showers in the morning, the chance of a thunderstorm chiefly in the west early this morning, winds north to northwesterly 25 to 35 kilometres an hour, tending west to northwesterly 25 to 40 kilometres an hour in the middle of the day, then becoming light in the late evening. A maximum of 27 degrees in Sydney. What about out at Campbelltown, Scrambletown, Raymond, and Cootamundra?
Yep, Campbelltown, a shower too as well, but 28 degrees. Cootamundra, Jim, your old neck of the woods down that way.
Ah, oh, great part of the world. The Golden Triangle for Riverina.
A little bit cool today, some showers and 21 degrees.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray. And Jimmy, you missed out yesterday. You're up watching the Penrith Raiders game at Bathurst, but you missed out on the Hawkesbury standalone meeting.
I've been to a couple of those.
You've been fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, 10,363, I think the official crowd was, and that feels like 50,000 at another racetrack. Some good racing yesterday. The Claret Stakes, you might think this is a stakes race in waiting. I think yesterday's race was a really high-quality juvenile event. This horse, Swear, is raced by Spendthrift Farm, which is one of the biggest breeding operations in America. They're now investing in Australian racing.
Wow.
They had a winner with the Team Hawks with the first starter at the Canterbury Midweeks called Redouble, a Redoute's Choice colt. And then yesterday they produced Swear first up in the Claret Stakes. This is a pretty good horse.
Followed by Radcliffe, Swift Express, Flo's the widest runner, and then followed Swear. Louboutin still in front at the 300, Alliterate back to the fence, Engerard running on, so too Radcliffe and Flo the widest runner really starting to let rip now. Radcliffe moved up 150 to go, Flo and then Swear. It's Radcliffe and Flo and Swear down the outside. Here they come to the post, and Swear got up. Swear in the last hop as Blouse Flo, the two debutants, Quidelorit and Radcliffe third.
Where is Darren Flindell?
Am I on holidays? Probably in the Hong Kong meeting today, I'd say.
Right.
That was Mitch Manis. Did a good job yesterday, Mitch.
Good on him. So where's Swear going to end up?
Look, Team Hawks are in Hong Kong too, of course, with Chautauqua racing this afternoon.
Still sweeping though, John Hawks, I see.
Yeah, had the vacuum cleaner out, didn't he? A little picture came on social media.
Can't help himself.
No, okay. But Tanya Rouse, who's the stable rep, was there yesterday, and obviously she said when John and the boys return from Hong Kong, they'll make a call. I think he's potentially a spring horse, so Jim, I'm not too sure whether they'll go deep into the winter in Brisbane, but Brisbane's an option.
Yeah.
Race four, Jimmy. Now, this is one of the interesting sprints, over 1,100 metres, new track record time.
You know, sorry, I thought you were going to say there was no 1,100-metre race previously. I was listening to Dean Lester during the week. They were going to set a track record somewhere because they'd never raced over that distance at the track. Yeah.
No, he smashed it by more than a half a second, Furness. He's back to his best.
Sweet Serendipity left the fence badly there. Furnaces down the outside and then ins and out. Cool Ring Alberto Magic. Fine Mist and Skip Course back to the inside. Furnaces hit the front, 200 to go. Ins and out down the outer. It's Furnaces and ins and out with 100 to go. Furnaces just ins and out. Drew Level, they're coming to the post. Furnaces gripping on, got him by head. Furnaces beat ins and out. Third Curo and fourth in Skip Course. Then Fine Mist.
So what happened to Furnace's last run?
Well, John O'Shea put a tongue tie on him for yesterday, and there was a suspicion, although they couldn't definitely say it was, but he might have choked down at Randwick almost 2 months ago now.
Okay.
But that wasn't obviously the real Furnace's. Remember, this is a horse that last spring, Jim, ran third to Chautauqua at Wait for Age in the McEwen Stakes, then he became ill. That was his only previous run for the season. A one-time Golden Super favourite last year. A talented colt. He's well-weighted yesterday, but did a good job to beat the older horses, as I said, in track record time.
And Darren Boomer was in charge yesterday.
The great
John
man was there,
show away, yeah.
He was holding the fort. Potentially, we could see Furnaces up in Brisbane. So a race like the BTC Cup at Wait for Age over 1,200 metres, given he's run third to Chautauqua previously, would really suit Furnaces. But again, John O'Shea, he's in Hong Kong as well. Most people are. He's got Bow Creek running in the Champions Mile this afternoon.
2016 Godolphin Crown, speaking of.
Yep, Two Blue led for a long way. This is one of those races which got me thinking, what was the track doing? Because you had to be out wide.
Yeah.
Then we watched Two Blue and Nancy go head-to-head in the Godolphin Crown hard up against the fence.
Around the home corner, it's Two Blue in front by 2.5. Nancy ran to second. Peace Force out wider running on. Then followed Artistry, Press Report and Sense and Reason. And then followed Cradle Me and Emirata. Two Blue at 150, joined by Nancy. They're clear of Peace Force and Artistry. Two Blue and Nancy. Nancy took a narrow lead close home. Nancy won the crown. Nancy by a length to Two Blue. Press Report got up for third. Peace Force fourth and then Artistry.
How do you name a horse Nancy, just out of interest?
Should have asked that yesterday. Should have asked Peter what
Big Brown
inspiration was it.
Shalimar Sky.
Might have been a family member or something.
Must have been, yeah. So, Nancy, what's the plan for Nancy?
Well, originally, Peter Snowden was saying he was driving to Hawkesbury yesterday thinking this could be Nancy's last run for the autumn, but she's broken through. Only had the fourth run, so she hasn't been over race. Been up a while, but so now the Dark Jewel Classic in 2 weeks in Scone looms as a logical option for her. One more start, then spell. Two Blue, though. They're going to take Two Blue to Brisbane and run in the BTC Cup and wait for age. And on her run yesterday, she was fantastic under 59, Jim.
Isn't Kristen Buchanan's going very well with her stable, isn't it? We've spoken to her a couple of times this year already. The Panthers Hawkesbury Gold Cup. Great that Brian Fletcher was able to get Panthers to be a sponsor.
Been a long-term sponsor, yeah.
no conflict there
exactly.
at all, Fletcher.
Great pitch from the Sunday Toy today from Jenny Evans. This was the
is a good photo,
this
isn't
it? This was the charge of the Light Brigade. There were 16 runners in this race. 15 of them felt like were spread right across the track at the 200-metre mark from inside to out. And Emma Varcio, scraping the outside fence, gets up to win the Hawkesbury Gold Cup.
Corner Strawberry Boy quickly moved up to Lesser's More at the 450. Ecuador ran to third, then followed Medcourt. Casino Dancer, Sons of John, Great Esteem. Tales of Grimm and Pajaro back to the inside. And out wide are Mellis and Emma Varcio. Where to look at the 250? Strawberry Boy, Emma Varcio, Casino Dancer, Mellis. At the 150, it's Strawberry Boy just in front. Mighty Lucky, Casino Dancer, Emma Varcio out wider. Emma Varcio, Casino Dancer, Mighty Lucky, they hit it. Emma Varcio right down the outside fence beats Mighty Lucky and Casino Dancer third. Strawberry Boy fourth.
Hey, incredible the way they fanned out along the track there. Emma Varcio is the winner. Rory Hutchings we're going to speak to very shortly as well. A couple of trials going into that one, so it was a bit of a different preparation there for Chris Waller.
Yeah, a month between runs for Emma Varcio and just couldn't find the right race for him, so he gave him one unofficial trial with some of his stablemates at Rose Hill and one official trial. So two solid barrier trial hit-outs just to make sure he was rock-hard fit for the race, and it certainly worked, Jim.
Heading where?
Emma Varcio, I dare say a race like the Scone Cup would probably suit him now, and he's in form, but depends what weight he gets. Jimmy, the Hawks Beginnings was the other Group 3 race on the day. Handfast was the hot favourite. Spill the Beans, though, was the class runner. Considered suspect at 1,400 metres, he was just too good.
Spill the Beans, the leader at the home corner, and they're getting his by two lengths. He tried to slip away here. Handfast and Suspense next, then Serene Majesty, followed them by Lady Zhivago and Dem Magic down the outside, then Red Extension. Spill the Beans, the leader, 250 left to run. Handfast called upon. Dem Magic out wider, then Suspense and Serene Majesty. It's still Spill the Beans in front. A length, two lengths in front. It's home. It's got the Guineas parceled up. Spill the Beans, one, second, Dem Magic. Third, Serene Majesty. Fourth, a photo handfast.
Went to the front and improved its position.
They couldn't
not a bad effort, is it? We're going to speak to Gerald Ryan about that very shortly as well. So, Spill the Beans.
Potentially.
Next assignment.
Yeah, Scone Guineas.
Scone.
So 2 weeks. This is perfect timing, isn't it?
Okay.
From the Hawkesbury standalone to the Scone Carnival in 2 weeks for Spill the Beans. That race is worth $400,000. The Scone Guineas, so why wouldn't you keep them going for another? Brisbane's Carnival's just starting to crank up, Jimmy, and Fell Sweep was a bit of an emerging sprint star over the autumn. Remember, he ran second to Chautauqua in the TJ Smith Stakes. He'd run two Group 1 placings, got a chance to break back into the winner's circle in the Victory Stakes. He was pretty impressive.
at the 450 and didn't cost a lot by half a length from Pinch River. Peeling out as Fell Swoop. He's a length away, followed by Noid Up. They're nicely clear from Rock Royalty and Artley on the outside. Didn't cost a lot, the leader. On the outside, Fell Swoop in the centre. Pinch River, Noid Up the rail. Didn't cost a lot, still the leader. Fell Swoop on the outside from Noid Up. The leader still didn't cost a lot from Fell Swoop. Fell Swoop going to didn't cost a lot. Now Fell Swoop poke the nose in front, and Fell Swoop was too good. He's won the group two by neck on the line. Two didn't cost a lot. Third is either Artley or Noid Up, followed by Rock Royalty.
So the Matty Dale fan club is happy yet again. Fell Swoop having
Michelle
a win there.
Dubbo.
Yeah, just having a look at the Stradbroke handicap market, which is the only market that we have up at the moment for the Brisbane Winter Carnival. As Cadelia is a $4 favourite for the Straddy. That's on June 11. Malaguera at $5.50. Blackheart, Bart and English at $7. And then you've got a couple of horses, three horses in fact, at $10. Counterattack, Extravagant and Fell Swoop.
Yeah, I think that's good odds, yeah. He'll go by the BTC Cup and the Doomben 10,000, Fell Swoop. Took a while to win, but he was always going to run down, I think. Didn't cost a lot, Jim. He just took a fair while to catch him. Jim, I want to mention a couple of horses. Yesterday, Morris won the first race at Doomben. This horse is absolutely flying, and he's a real chance in a race like the Brisbane Cup. I'm not sure what his latest odds are now, but he is absolutely in tremendous form. David Van Dyke, yet another good winner, and Morris will keep paying his way in Brisbane. And a horse we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Jimmy, had his first start at Newcastle's Beaumont track and won it really well back on April 9, a horse called Torpen Howe. He's come out again at Wyong on Thursday against older horses carrying 60 kilos. It's won by four lengths. His two wins now, aggregate margin, 9.8 lengths. Did it effortlessly. I renamed him.
Yeah, what have you gone with?
Torpen Wow.
Oh, nice.
He's a gun. He's at least 17 hands, if not bigger, and he's a monster of a three-year-old, and I don't know how good this bloke is.
Who trained?
John O'Shea at the Godolphin Camp by Street Cry out of a mare called Estay, who was beautifully bred. He's already been gelded, probably because he's such a big horse.
Right.
Not sure what the Godolphin plans are now, but he'll have to come to town next. He's too good for the provincials, and how good is he? We don't know. But
and what's his distance?
He's a sprinter at the moment, but the way he just races, and he just looks exceptional. So he's caught my eye both times, and he's going to go on bigger and better things.
And given the fact you sent me the text message after the race on Thursday, was there any thought to giving me the text message before the race?
If I'd have sent you a text and said, back Torpen Howe now at $1.50, you would have sent back and said, what, whose money? He was too short to back.
$1.50,
was he? Yeah, oh, okay. But he's great to watch. He's a very, very impressive animal.
All right, fair enough. I'll let you go on that one. Now, we got asked, too, about the chairman sprint today, Shitaka and Buffering over there in Hong Kong. I was listening to Tommy Berry on Andrew Bensley's program, and can it get back and win like that in Hong Kong, like it has done so often here in Australia, Ray Shitaka?
Well, one thing about Buffering in a race, you know what's going to happen,
speed.
Don't you? Yes, and that's what Shitaka needs, and he's currently ranked, Jimmy, the world's best sprinter. Like, he does freakish things, as he did in the TJ Smith when he gave that crack field a huge start, end up beating them quite easily. It's going to be exciting. Buffering, the old bloke, he's a rising 9-year-old. He's in career best coming off that win in Dubai.
How good was he in Dubai?
Fantastic. So
he had to be strangled by Damien Brown before he let him go.
It's been a long time since an Australian-trained horse has won a major in Hong Kong, so good luck to them. And, of course, John O'Shea has Bow Creek in the Champions Mile. He's a horse called Maurice or Morris from Japan. Depends how you want to pronounce it, who is a superstar. He'll be very hard to beat. But I know they're pretty happy with Bow Creek and how he's settled in Hong Kong.
Okay.
And very happy with Buffering and Chautauqua. So let's hope the Australian horses run well.
Jimmy and Ray, the Dogs miss Mick Ennis more than anyone. Not only his dummy half play, but his captaincy as well. Jonathan Thurston and Mick Ennis are the Dogs' two biggest losses in the past 20 years. That's John from Moorbank. Good on you, John. Tough times for John from Moorbank.
It's a good point, though. Jonathan Thurston, Mick Ennis.
Mick Ennis, I'll tell you what, he's playing some good football for the Sharks. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more.
There's nothing like a country carnival, and one of the best in New South Wales is on this Thursday and Friday.
Red light is on. We're about to see them. They're off and away at Wagga Wagga, a lovely level start.
Sky Sports Radio takes you to Wagga Wagga for the final days of their annual Cup Carnival. Hear Racing HQ between 9 and 10 both days. Then it's John Scores with his early mail after 10:30. First class racing, fashions on the field. Get to Wagga Thursday and Friday with your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Could it be an Aussie Cup up in Hong Kong this afternoon? Two massive Group 1s head the card. The Champions Mile and the Chairman's Sprint Prize. And the Aussies aren't there for a holiday. Can Boat Creek measure up to Japanese giant killer Maurice in the mile? And what about our world-class speedsters, Chautauqua and Buffery? Could it be an Aussie 1-2 in the sprint? Find out when the Sky Racing Network brings you all the Sha Tin action today from 2:30. Get on at your local TAB or at tab.com.au.
Are you ready for the 2016 Emirates Park Scone Cup Carnival?
Friday, May 13th features the Cup and the English 2-year-old challenge. Saturday, the 14th is Scone's standalone race day, highlighted by the English 3-year-old Guineas and the Daly Dark Jewel Classic.
Plus fashion, music, fun and the finest hospitality.
Book your hospitality package or race day tickets now at sconeraceclub.com.au and be trackside at Scone for City Class Racing Country Style. May 13 and 14.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Jimmy, one man who wasn't concerned about spill the beans running a strong 1,400 metres was the trainer, Gerald Ryan. He was so confident, he told me yesterday it was his bet for the Punters Club. Guess which horse he backed?
Spill the beans?
Certainly did. And
he's
got the cash. He's been good enough to join us bright and early this morning. Gerald, good morning. And I dare say you're betting next week as well for the Punters Club.
You're up again.
I think that's the way it works.
Exactly. Congratulations, Gerald. He was really good yesterday. There's no substitute for class, is there, Gerald? But the distance doubt, we put that to bed pretty quickly.
Yeah, well, I never had a doubt about distance, you know. Brenton early in the spring, I always thought he'd run the journey, and perhaps I ran him in the wrong race, you know, 1,000 metres up the straight and during Clementon Carnival, instead of the 1,400 on the last day, but doesn't matter, that's history. But you know, he's only had a go at it here at Rose Hill in the Bartford. It was very good, you know, he had one trial and he won first up and he was sort of went straight to the 1,400 and he had blinkers on, he raced at the Keen and I thought he ran very well that day. And he ran terrific and, you know, just probably had a better lead up into this race where he, you know, he had a bit of a freshen up after that and then a nice trial and then the Arrow Field. Even though he's very disappointing in the Arrow Field and what went wrong there, but he'd come out of the race good. So I thought, well, have another crack at it.
So by the sounds of it, Gerald, he's a horse that doesn't race well when fresh. And you just got to find the right preparation for him.
Well, he did. He did race. He did win first up this time, but he was trained up to win first up too. But,
yeah.
He's always been a horse that's improved. Like even when he won his first start at Gosford, he went to ran with his next start and improved off it, and he won. And then in the spring, he ran a bit ordinary first up. I think it was in the Brian Crowley or one of those races, and then he. He come out and ranked second to one of Chris's, you know, and
press statement, yeah.
And then he went to Flemington and ran third. So now he's always probably improved off one run, yeah.
Gerald, yesterday the blinkers were off. He took the blinkers off the colt and he relaxed beautifully in front. And do you leave them off there now, or is it virtually a race by race situation with him?
They'll stay off now while he's still sticking around the 1,400 metre. But Mark and that, they'll stay on him, stay off him, yeah.
Paraded spectacularly as well, too. So this you must have been to the point where you thought, well, today's the day for the horse.
Yeah, well, he worked. He rose till probably Friday a week ago and then again on Tuesday. And his work was very good. And he was going to course proper Tuesday. And his work was very good, and the horse did parade well, and he looked very well going to the races yesterday. I was confident with him very, very well.
Well, Gerald, yesterday he had to concede weight to all his rivals, and he was just too good for them. Now he goes to Scone and meets more at level weights, 56 kgs each of every runner in the Scone Guineas.
Yeah, 56 against 54.5 or something with the fillies. So it's a restricted race. Like Godolphin won't have anything there, and I don't know what's around or what is coming up for it, but Natural Tackle won the Hawks of Guineas, they went to Scone and got beat, so When you look through the results of the Fourth Guineas, very good horses winning.
Yeah.
Go on, there's young horses coming up and going through. You know, some, a lot of horses have gone on and won good races after winning the Hawks for Guineas, and he's, you know, let's hope he can do the same. But Scone's a good money race, and it's just age restricted. It's a nice track, and just see Guineas' preparation really good.
So if it's your bet in the Punters Club next up, do you get to wait 2 weeks until you get to the Scone Guineas? Can you do that, Gerald, or they want something for next week?
We've got to do it on a Saturday, eh?
Yeah. Well, you better go again next week so you can go up in to spill the beans again for the Scone Guineas.
Well, there's a few of us in it. No, John Capazan is in there at Marana Cafe. He runs it. And you don't get many bets through the year, especially back a loser. Well, long time for your team to come around again.
Yeah, fair enough.
You might have a couple, Gerald, that I spot at the Anzac Day meeting at Gosford on Monday that both won really well. A two-year-old filly by name of Suspenders, and that three-year-old, I think it's pronounced Moda, Gerald, is that correct?
Yeah, Moda.
Yeah, gee, correct. It's flying. And where to for both those two fillies?
Suspenders will go to Scone to the fillies race up Scone.
Is that the Denise's Joy, I think? Is that the one?
That's correct,
yeah.
But she's a nice filly, and ran terrific at Rosehill first up, just got beat by that good filly Chris Wallace, and then she came out of her next race at Rosehill, the Magic Knight, a bit flat.
Yep.
So we just gave her a freshen up, and she was quite good up there the other day. And it was only a maiden 2-year-old at Gosford, but she was quite good, very impressive, really. Modar's a filly who's a bit highly strung and it's taken a bit going, but her last two wins have been very good.
Yeah.
She'll probably go to a midweek race at Canterbury in 10 days' time, yeah.
Well, that's no good for you, Gerald. You can't use that one for the Punters Club.
No, true.
But she'll keep winning. She's a nice filly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, does it break? We had the standalone yesterday at Hawkesbury. You've got Scone standalone in a couple of weeks' time. Does it break the monotony a little bit, Gerald, of going to the Metropolitan racetracks to mix it up a little bit on Saturdays?
Oh, it probably does. But those two meetings, they got stronger and stronger and stronger every year. And you need a good horse to go to both of them. And I had some friends went there yesterday, and first time they've been to Hawkesbury. And they said they won't be the last time they go. They had a really good day. They really enjoyed it, and probably spilled the beans helped them too. But but I reckon they're great. You put the stake money on, you get good horses, and they were running records there and yesterday, and they're on probably, I think it's only the second meeting on that new track, and the quality of the horses is so much better, and that's why they were probably running records, you know.
No, good point, Gerald. Look, great day for the stable yesterday with Spill of Beans winning well, and Peace Force Source running a good race. So, Gerald, a lot to look forward to going to Scone, and thanks for joining us bright and early on Sunday morning, Gerald.
Okay, no worries, boys.
Thanks so much.
Gerald Ryan there, win with Spill the Beans, and keep your eyes out for that one at the Scone Guineas in a couple of weeks' time. We'll look forward to that one. 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's go to callers there now. Oh, Ian wants to have his say on Fell Swoop. Hello, Ian.
G'day, chaps. How are we?
Very well,
good morning,
thanks.
Ian.
You realise that Fell Swoop created history yesterday?
Go ahead.
The only horse that's ever run second to Chautauqua to win at its next start.
There you go.
I was listening to the racing station up here in Brisbane yesterday morning, and they gave that stat out.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, it didn't affect his confidence, and he bounced back from that Chautauqua loss to win. So he set up well for the Brisbane Carnival, isn't he, Phil Sweet?
He is. Mm. He is, and it's all down to Matty, because rather than bringing him up to be at the Gold Coast or Brisbane, he stabled him with Matty Dunn
at
the Willembar.
That's correct, yeah.
Takes him for a swim every morning. He said he's just settled in beautifully. So there's three more races to go. We'll see whether we can get a Group 1 win out of him now.
How far is it from the Willembar to Brisbane?
It's about an hour.
Is it? Right.
So that's 2.5 hours less than when he travels from Canberra to race in Sydney.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
So yeah, I mean, he's used to travelling. I mean, he went to Wagga for his first ever start. He's been to Sydney 4 times. He's been to Melbourne 3 times. So, you know, I mean, whilst he's a bit of a flighty horse, he travels very, very well.
Plenty of frequent float points then, so Phil Swift.
Indeed.
Good on you, Ian. Sounds like you backed him. Well done, and we'll look forward to a big Brisbane Winter Carnival for Fell Swoop.
I'm happy to take the prize money.
Good on you, Ian.
Good on you, Ian. Appreciate
it's
that.
It's flying. Hey, Jimmy, here's one from a very interesting little SMS from Milkman at Yes.
Oh, here we go.
The Rabbitohs sucked me in way back in 1971. I've enjoyed the past few years, but very disappointed with what's going on at present. It looks as though the players and coach are on a different page. A change seems inevitable.
That is the question for the South Sydney Rabbitohs management. What is happening there? I think Michael Maguire's contract expires at the end of 2017.
Okay.
Do they decide to make a change earlier than that? We'll get your thoughts on it. 1353 53 is that open line number. News coming now. But Darren Beamer, Rory Hutchings, Andy Paskalides and Peter Zorba Peters up next.
To Victorian teenager Caitlin Fisher, who was fatally injured while competing in the Sydney International Horse Trials yesterday morning. The 19-year-old fell from her horse at fence 2 of a cross-country event and doctors were unable to revive her. The three-day competition, which was also hosting trials for the Rio Olympics, has been called off following her death. A former IT worker accused of stabbing his wife's niece to death and dumping her body in waters off the New South Wales Central Coast has been denied bail. The body of 25-year-old Meng Mei Ling was discovered floating face down inside a blowhole at Snapper Point last weekend. Sources close to the investigation say a post-mortem revealed the Chinese-born international student had earlier suffered more than 30 stab wounds in a frenzied attack. Ms. Leng's accused killer, her 27-year-old uncle, fronted Parramatta Bail Court via video link yesterday, charged with murder. Surf lifesavers say the 11 drowning deaths on Queensland's beaches during the past 6 months were entirely preventable. Surf Life Saving Queensland Chief Operating Officer George Hill says while volunteer lifesavers have rescued 1,355 people during the patrol season, the number of deaths has increased compared to the previous year when 8 people died. He says none of the deaths occurred in places being patrolled by lifesavers. The organisation will hold events on the Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, Harvey Bay and North Queensland to remember those who died during the 2015-16 patrol season, which ends tomorrow. Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce has told the ABC the government made the right decision in rejecting a multi-million dollar bid by Chinese investors for the massive Kidman & Co cattle empire.
It's incredibly important for the Australian man and woman on the street, in the suburbs and in country towns, on the land to see us from time to time with the capacity to say no, otherwise it becomes all things go, no questions asked, and quite rightly, people start to lose confidence that we have control of the situation.
There are fears the move will sour trade relations between the two nations, but Mr. Joyce says it's absurd to think we're sending a bad message to foreign investors after knocking back the bid. Overseas and hundreds of protesters have stormed Baghdad's heavily fortified green zone and set up tents outside parliament after Shiite Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr denounced politicians for failing to approve a new cabinet. The initial breach was mainly peaceful, but police later fired tear gas and bullets into the air in an effort to stop more protesters from entering. The Iraqi government has been deadlocked for weeks over the approval of a new cabinet, which al-Sadr says is necessary to tackle corruption. A seven-storey building has collapsed in Nairobi in Kenya after heavy rains and flooding across the country. There are fears that dozens of people may still be trapped. Director of National Disaster Operations Centre, Nathan Makaria-Kagotho, told the BBC they have to tread carefully when searching the rubble.
We have managed to rescue 133 people from the scene. Some people are getting impatient, but as it is, we have got indications that there are people who are still trapped in the rubble. And we don't want to use the heavy machines because it is likely to crumble and crush them.
The military and Kenyan Red Cross have taken charge of the rescue effort. The owner of the building has been arrested by order of Kenya's president. Also in news, investigators are searching for millions of dollars missing from the trust fund of 6 Melbourne real estate offices. This is AIR News. Formula One Championship leader Nico Rosberg has secured pole position for the Russian Grand Prix after Mercedes teammate Lewis Hamilton suffered more misfortune in qualifying. Hamilton, the world champion and winner in Russia for the past 2 years, but 36 points behind Rosberg, didn't take part in the final phase after a power unit problem. He's set to start 10th. 52 goals from sharpshooter Imelda Aiken have hoisted the Queensland Firebirds to a 61-51 win over the New South Wales Swifts in their Trans-Tasman Grand Final rematch. The 10-point victory extended the Firebirds' record-breaking undefeated run to 18 games and elevated them to outright first on the Australian Conference ladder. The Queensland Reds have scrapped their way to just their second win of the Super Rugby season, an ugly 30-17 victory over the Cheetahs. Nick Frisby scored two tries and Curtis Browning one. Wins also to the Highlanders and the Blues. Richmond midfielder Kane Lambert has been taken to hospital with a suspected punctured lung after a painful collision in his side's AFL clash with Port Adelaide. Lambert left the MCG after reporting breathing difficulties after being crunched in the first quarter. The 24-year-old was playing his 19th game. Port triumphed over Richmond 13-16-94 to 8-11-59. The Cats, Giants, Crows and Saints also recorded wins this round. And in NRL, victories to the Cowboys, Roosters and Panthers. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, partly cloudy, but it's raining outside just now. We've got our cup of coffee, Jim, so...
Terrible. Cup of tea
for me. It says 50% chance of showers. Well, it's raining right now. There's also a chance of a thunderstorm, chiefly in the west early this morning. Hopefully it'll clear later on in the day. So a shower or two in Sydney. Top temperature, Jimmy, of 27 degrees, which is
it's quite
great.
Warm. Yeah,
yeah, love that. What about at Greenacre and Gunnedah?
Greenacre, we're going to get a maximum of 28 degrees today. And Gunnedah, in the state's northwest, rain today and a maximum temperature of 25 degrees.
Sky Sports Radio is a proud supporter of New South Wales Racing, and every day we call on the best form analysts to pass on the winners. Every Wednesday, Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas preview the main Sydney meeting.
Drawn nicely in gate three, as Paul suggested, good tempo, took it the lovely run, proved very hard to beat here.
Plus, the TAB Glenn Munsey has the latest movers. Catch them on Racing HQ, Wednesdays from 9:30 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
I'm not giving Mum a present this Mother's Day.
Nor am I.
Me either.
Nor am I. And I think she'll love it.
This Mother's Day, instead of just giving Mum a present, please make a donation to the Breast Cancer Institute of Australia for research, and we'll send you a beautiful card to give Mum. Visit bcia.org.au or call 1-800-423-444, because a world without breast cancer would be the best Mother's Day gift of all.
Well, this has been good golf. Jason Day, a phenomenal talent and a major champion.
Switch your play now. Foley inside ball to Beale. And Beale gets it to Bernard Foley. And Bernard Foley has got a double at Twickenham. A packed house. And those bold enough to wear gold in the crowd are on their feet. It's Djokovic.
Welcome to the weekend's biggest and best serve of sport and racing. On Sky Sports Radio, it's time for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith.
And welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend show with Jimmy and Ray. Big second hour coming up, Jim.
Massive.
Yeah, wrong word there. Rory Hutchings hopefully will join us shortly. He won the Hawkesbury Gold Cup on Amavasia yesterday. We're hoping to catch up with Darren Beeman. Godolphin had a big day, potentially even bigger day, with Bow Creek later on this afternoon. The big one, the A-League Grand Final in Adelaide today. Adelaide United versus the Western Sydney Wanderers. Andy Pascalides will give us an update there, Jimmy. Sorry.
Who do you sing for, Ray?
Well, Sydney FC man, just ahead of the Wanderers, so I like both
teams.
Well,
hang on.
I know, it's difficult.
No, mate, just say you're a Sydney FC man.
I did.
You know? Yeah. Well, don't say, oh,
but today,
yeah,
obviously, we're all Wanderers fans.
Are we?
Who are you going for, Jim?
Well, don't worry. You know, Sydney FC's my team.
So, but who are you going for today was the question.
Well, if I have to go for, I'll go for the Wanderers
today.
Well,
there you go. That's all we need to know.
Yeah. So, but I'm not saying, oh, it's a millimetre in it between Sydney FC and the Wanderers.
Well, you asked me that question with St George and Penrith.
Yeah, that's right. But that's different, I think.
Anyway, but anyway, plenty more.
It's massive.
The Z and Z, you know it is.
What we do know, Ray,
yeah,
is that there'll be a first-time champion in the A-League.
Absolutely, so we history created.
That's right, that's right.
The Z and Z quiz is coming up later in this hour as well. We'll talk to Zorba about all matters league, and Tanya will have the scratchings at the top of the hour. So plenty happening, Jim. Big day yesterday at Hawkesbury, and And Rory Hutchings got the big race, the Hawkesbury Gold Cup, as well as Rider of the Day on Emma Vaz show. Terrific effort. Came from the outside barrier, Jim, found cover, and then got to the outside fence, scraped the paint down the outside. I think the fans were leaning over the fence and touching the horse as he went by, but he got the job done, and Rory's been good enough to join us bright and early this morning. Rory, good morning. Congratulations, and... Well, you had to go right to the outside fence, but you were saying yesterday it's just a matter of when you press the button. You were always pretty confident he'd wheel them in.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, that was pretty much the case. I had a good run the whole way and had a leg full of horse coming to the turn.
Rory, had you walked the track, were you aware of, especially in that straight about, you know, where the good places to be were during the course of the day?
Yeah, I had a quick look at the track and also just watching previous races before the cup, and a lot of the winners were coming up and down the outside. A lot of the jockeys were keen to get off the fence, and from my wide barrier, it played into my hands.
Mm. Yeah, Rory, great win on Emma Vaz show, and that was your first stakes win for Chris Waller as a combination, and he's obviously been a great influence on you, and both Chris and yourself were talking yesterday about how Chris has got you weighing in every morning, at coming up to his office to weigh in and have a chat with you about how your diet's going and how you're approaching your riding and your weight loss, and it's got you in the right headspace now, Rory.
Yeah, it has definitely. Chris is a big asset to me, and he definitely makes sure I'm on the right track with my weight and everything on and off the course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a good talk, you know, every day, going to the office and just make sure everything's right.
How do you know your body now in the fact, I was reading the article that Ray wrote and talking about, you know, there were certain things you were doing that to us seems like that would be the obvious way to lose weight, but your body was actually repelling that and putting on weight. Can you give us an understanding of that, Rory?
Yeah, well, I was... At one stage when I first come over to Sydney, I was riding quite light. I hadn't been, you know, 54 kilos for a couple of years before I came over. And I was just trying to push my body too hard, and it got to the point where it had enough of the wasting and the dehydrating. And after each race meeting, I'd just put the weight back on, and it got to the point where I was, you know, to be honest, I was walking around 60, 61 kilos. And trying to ride 55, 56, which was definitely unhealthy.
Sure.
A couple of times there too, Rory, you mentioned yesterday you felt like just packing it in and going back home to New Zealand, but are you glad now you're sticking it out because you're probably 2 or 3 months away from winning the Apprentices Premiership?
Yeah, look, it did cross my mind a couple of times about going home, but then winners like these would pop up and get back into the right headspace, and definitely want to win that apprentice title. That was the main goal when I first came over, and it's good to be in a position to be able to win that.
Tell us a little bit about Emma Vaz show and how you go with riding the horse. The preparation was a little bit different from Chris too. An unofficial trial and then the official trial to make sure the horse was fit leading into the race.
Yeah, well, he ran a few weeks without a run, and Chris gave him those couple of trials there. The unofficial trial was because they didn't have the trials at Rosehill. They usually have every 2 weeks, but he was fit going into it. I rode him a couple of the gallops in the mornings, and he was, you know, hard fit and ready to go.
And Chris Waller, you mentioned earlier he's been a great influence on your life and instrumental in getting over to Sydney. What's he like to work for, Rory?
He's a good boss to work for. His operation is world class, and saying that, Chris is very down to earth, and he always stops and have a chat to all the staff to make sure they're right and everything's going well.
You pretty much have to say that, Rory, really. He trains every second horse in Sydney just about. if you said he's all right, Waller, he gets by, you'd never get another ride.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're not running for Chris, you don't have much hope.
But he's a bit like that, though, isn't he, Rory? His demeanour never really changes, does he? He's sort of, how he describe it, he's a half-full glass bloke, isn't he?
Yeah, he is definitely. He's a good bloke to be around and to work for. And if you meet him on the street, you wouldn't know he's Australia's best trainer.
Yeah. He's very measured, isn't he,
yeah,
in what he does?
Humble and
It reminds me of the way Kerry O'Keefe used to describe Doug Walters, the great cricketer. He said, you'd see Doug at the bar and you wouldn't know whether he got a duck that day or got 200.
That's a good perspective on life,
then,
you know.
And then Kerry adds, and often Doug wouldn't know. But that's not the case for Chris Waller, just to clear that up. Rory, congratulations on yesterday. Well done on that. The writing's going fantastically well, and we appreciate your time early on a Sunday morning.
No, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks, Rory.
Rory Hutchings there. Gee, you feel for those guys who have to work so hard with that weight.
He's
stripping weight off. Hughie Bowman's done it for a long time, hasn't he?
Now, jockeys often tell me that the older they get, their body gets used to it, and it becomes not easier, but becomes more manageable. But Rory's only 21, and to be honest with you, Jimmy's a lot bigger than most jockeys.
Yeah.
And so it's a struggle for him, but he's a natural talent. And if he can hang in there, which he obviously has got the commitment to do so, he's got a terrific career ahead of him.
When you say bigger, taller?
Taller and bigger.
And
he's physically a strong young man. And so I think 56 would be probably about almost as light as he can ride. He might get down to 55 and a half. But look, he's doing a good job, and he got the job done yesterday on Amavasio.
I thought Josh Reynolds was going to end up in Royal North Shore when he hit the deck in the 77th minute after the penalty. He's up and about. What did you boys think? That's from Davo.
Very
good point, Davo, that you make there. I thought that was an interesting one because, James Graham, he was gesturing wildly about, oh, no, Josh Reynolds. And then they get the penalty. He does get up.
Mm-hmm.
They bring him to the sideline, and then he stays on the field and runs the ball up, no problem. And then there's after that point, the Bulldogs take him off the field.
Oh, so I did see
you have to take him off the field because he had to go for the head injury assessment.
That's right.
Of course, then he sat on the bench and didn't go for the head injury assessment. Didn't matter because there was only a couple of minutes left in the game and he wasn't going to get back on. But I think the Dogs, if you stay down, then you've got to come off the field. And I know the Dogs have been fined previously about that sort of thing from the National Rugby League. And all clubs now are very, very aware of if there looks like a player's got a head clash, you've got to get them off the field or a head injury that needs an assessment. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend Edition. We've got so much coming up. Andy Pascalides and Zorba as well. It's like Greek Open Day, isn't it, here in this last half hour.
Sky Sports Radio is a proud supporter of New South Wales Racing, and every day we call on the best form analysts to pass on the winners. Every Wednesday, Paul Joyce and Ray Thomas preview the main Sydney meeting.
Drawn nicely in gate three as Paul suggested, good tempo. Took it a lovely run, proved very hard to beat here.
Plus, the Tab's Glenn Munsey has the latest movers. Catch them on Racing HQ, Wednesdays from 9:30 on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
I'm not giving Mum a present this Mother's Day.
Nor am I.
Me either.
Nor am I. And I think she'll love it.
This Mother's Day, instead of just giving Mum a present, please make a donation to the Breast Cancer Institute of Australia for research, and we'll send you a beautiful card to give Mum. Visit bcia.org.au or call 1-800-423-444, because a world without breast cancer would be the best Mother's Day gift of all.
Dynamics Indications and Mick Price offer a high-quality filly. Buy Written Tycoon from a half-sister to Group 1 winner, First Seal.
Mick Price here for Dynamics Indications. Lot 364, the Written Tycoon filly. First Seal is Group 1. The second dam episode is an Oaks winner. She's strong, muscly, really nice filly. I love the filly. It's one of the better fillies in this sale.
Join the Dynamic Mick Price team. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360-808.
You want Mazdas? Penrith Mazdas got Mazdas. Acres of them. In fact, Penrith Mazda is the largest single-site Mazda dealer in New South Wales. Did you know that, Raymond?
I certainly did.
And now they're the state's number one BT50 dealer. You know, I like the look of those BT50s. You see them on the road a fair bit. The dual cabs.
And once you see them once, you see them all the time,
don't
you?
Yeah, don't you? And I reckon I could handle one of those cars.
You look good in it.
I like the BT50.
James Smith as well. With the family.
If I need to do any fencing or anything,
that's you.
Could throw the picks in the back and all that sort of stuff.
Your heart's still in the Kittamundra region.
Love it. Yeah. Not only do you have to do more, but the BT50 range gives you more. More grunt, more torque, more comfort across the 4x4 and the 4x2 BT50 range. Get more options, more technology, and more safety. I could put the dogs and the kids in the back.
You'll be going straight to Penrith this afternoon to buy one, I can see.
See the team at Penrith Mazda, Mulgara Road at Penrith.
They'll look after you.
With all the goss on your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Hi guys, love the Zorb. Would like to know his take on Jamie's dive. Okay to make fools of officials, especially Bunker, or unsportsmanlike. That's from Muzzamite. Yeah, we'll ask Zorb about that. Of course, Jamie Lyon announced his retirement during the year, during the week. 17 seasons ago, he made his debut for Parramatta. 17 seasons ago.
Yeah, you forget.
He, of course, left after round one of, I think it was 2004, went and won a comp with Wee-Waw. The Boy War Panthers, then went over to England, and you think, oh, I just went over to England. He was the man of steel 1 year, and St Helens won the comp another year, might have been the same year that he was there. Came back, won two competitions with the Manly Seagulls, played for New South Wales, played for Australia. It is a very, very decorated career, and I think if he plays every game to the end of the year, and Manly doesn't make the semi-finals, he'll end up on 300 games.
Yeah, he's been a phenomenal player. And I think I read an article where he did things his way, did things differently, didn't he, Jim? Like, he turned his back on rep football at a young age. And I think it's fair to say, Jim, that right up and probably till this season, you know, New South Wales would desperately have loved to have him in the centres, wouldn't they?
Well, I reckon there was a stage, and I'd have discussions with Zorba about it, who's the best centre in the game? Was it Justin Hodges or was it Jamie Lyon? Mm. There was a time there for, and I reckon it was an eight-year period. You could watch Jamie Lyon play rugby league from the comfort of your lounge chair, and he'd never take a wrong option.
And he 100% never took right. A wrong option. My late father used to always say that. And you look at him, he doesn't look like a footballer as such, does he? But he's speedy, he's tough, his defence was fantastic.
He's kicking
and always
game.
Has been. And
he's
kicking game.
Imagine how many times he rolled the ball into the in-goal area and got a restart
great
for
player.
His team.
Great player.
Just incredible. 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's go to callers now. Adrian is on the line. I'm looking forward to this one. Hello, Adrian.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going? So I'm going to comment about the Roosters, about Wayne Bennett, and a quick one about Canterbury.
Fire away, Adrian.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Yeah.
Fire away, mate. Yep.
Just on Mitchell Pearce, definitely comes into consideration for New South Wales halves. And one of the reasons he does that, apart from he's a very good footballer, is that the top probably 10, maybe 12 halfbacks in the game, they're either Queenslanders, Kiwis, or English, as in Widdop's case. New South Wales halves is an absolute Christ.
So you've got...
probably got to go with possibly... Caesar and Maloney or Pearson Maloney.
Mm. You know, Aidan Caesar has not had a try assist this year, maybe one.
Yep. Anyway, that's it.
Oh, okay. Well, let's brush past that, Adrian. Get on to your next point.
With that, but New South Wales, it's a crisis in the heart. Really?
What are you writing for a tabloid now, Adrian? Are you?
Okay. When you don't have a halfback that wouldn't feature in the top dozen, sixes or sevens.
He, hang on. He's in the top dozen.
Is he?
Well, I'm saying he's in my top dozen, Adrian. Let's get to your second point or you won't get to your third.
Okay. And also, too, the NRL is gutless on Ben Cumming. If I'm Ben Cumming, I'm suing Trent Robbins for defaming me anyway, so good luck with that. And I hope they do appoint Ben Cumming's W gutless NRL. On Wayne Bennett, for him to ban Milford from playing for Samoa is absolutely pathetic.
Can't understand it. Yeah. Can't understand it.
And then to say he doesn't care what people think about it.
Mm. Now, I'm a great lover of the international game, and Steve Mascord writes passionately about the international game. And if you read his article during the week, there is no international game if you do things like pick Semi Radradra and not let Anthony Milford play for Samoa.
That's wrong. Very much wrong.
Mm. Can I talk further? Hello?
No. Okay, thanks very much for your call this morning, Adrian. We do appreciate it. We've got special guests on the line, so we
had Darren hanging on. He had to listen to that. Yeah.
The less special guests off the line.
Darren, thanks for hanging on. Good morning, Darren. Good day yesterday for Godolphin, and I particularly wanted to ask you about Furnaces, and I think there was a sense of relief that he was back to his best yesterday.
Exactly. Good morning, boys. Yeah, it was really good to see him get back on the board, and he showed a lot of determination and grit, especially over the concluding stages of the race. And, you know, like he ran fourth in the slipper last year, and we thought, you know, we had big expectations for him being a colt and, you know, sort of for his future. So we just had a few, John had a few little niggling problems with him going into the spring and over the spring and in the autumn. So he just changed his training program a little bit and just, you know, how we're sort of treating him sort of coming into a race. Mm. And it seemed to work, which was good.
What happened last time then, Darren?
Well, we actually think that he probably choked down.
Right.
Horses, like we put tongue ties on horses just to try and keep their tongue in the right position when they're racing and running. It's a bit like you when you're running and you put your tongue at the back of your throat or up on the roof of your mouth or over the bit. And it doesn't help the airways.
Right.
And so we just think he had probably a bit of a lack of oxygen there.
Yeah, well, he's back to his best yesterday, broke the track record and beat the older horses. And we tend to forget, don't we, Darren, that wasn't that long ago he was running third to Chautauqua in a Wait for Age race at the Valley. So we know he's a talent. So the plans for Furness is going forward, given John's overseas, is the BTC Cup an option now, Darren?
Oh, look, that's probably on the cards. He was probably going to go to Scone in a couple of weeks' time. Mm-hmm. Up there. I think it's the Luskin Star. But John's coming back tomorrow and we'll probably, another 24 hours will just give us time to let the dust settle and reassess. But look, it's just a big relief because he's a talent.
Mm-hmm. Darren, what's the word coming out of Hong Kong Rebo Creek?
Look, he got there. He didn't travel all that well. But after about 48 hours, things started to come back onto plan and back on track. And John's been over there since Wednesday, and he galloped on Thursday, and he's absolutely flying. So he's really bullish about him. Probably the only question mark would be if the track's a little bit rain affected. So I don't know what the update is on the weather there today, but. Look, he's going really, really well, the horse.
Yeah, he's a chance.
Be happier.
Yeah, that's great news. Darren, good day for the stable yesterday. Three winners at Caulfield as well. A couple of really nice horses emerging there, Unbreakable and Tar Quinn. A winner at the provincials. And I wanted to ask you about my new favourite horse, Torpen Howe, last Thursday at Wyong. Geez, a good horse, Darren.
He didn't tell anyone about it, but his new favourite horse.
I've renamed him Darren Torpen Wow.
Torpen Wow or Torpedo.
Yeah. Nice.
I like that, yeah. Nice. He's a big horse, isn't he, Darren? He looks like he's over 17 hands, is he?
He's a massive horse.
Yeah.
But he doesn't realise his own strength or power, I don't think. He's one of those big, gentle giants.
Mm.
But, he's got an engine under the hood. We really wanted to try and teach him something the other day because he, admittedly, at his first start, he was a big track at Newcastle, and he was sort of floating along, and Grant gave him a bit of a skitch up at the furlong, but he didn't really learn anything for the first half of the race, and we wanted to try and do that the other day at Wyong. We thought, tight little track, speed track, they'll go quick, but he just jumped straight into the bridle, and it was $1.60 pop, so it wasn't a day of trying to sort of teach him to do things.
We get excited about that sort of thing. Darren, appreciate your time this morning. Sorry, mate, we've got commitments coming up. Good luck with Bow Creek today, and we'll keep an eye out. Look, Ray doesn't text me when Torpen Howe runs, so if you could
let, I will next time,
if you could let us know when the horse runs, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, he'll tip you when they're $1.60.
Exactly. My form's really good like that, isn't it, Des?
Fantastic.
No worries, fellas.
Good. Thanks on you, Darren.
Darren Boodman there from the Godolphin Stable. So we do appreciate his time on a Sunday morning. 1353-53, the open line number. Thanks, boys. I had a $20 bet with a mate that Adrian would call before 7:30 news to rip into Mitchell Pearce. I owe you one. Mitch from Tamworth. No problem, Mitch. Happy to provide. Fair dickum. Talk about broken down record. We're going to take a break. We're going to have this, not a broken down record. We're going to find out who Andy Pascalidi sings for.
The perfect start to any race day is right here on Sky Sports Radio. Racing HQ, Tab Talk and the Early Mail have all your punting needs covered.
The third full field.
Yeah, race number three here, and I've come up with number seven on top, which is the Space Invader.
And from this week, with racing starting earlier, the Early Mail moves to a 10:30 start on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. For the complete racing picture, stay with us on Sky Sports Radio.
Could it be an Aussie car up in Hong Kong this afternoon? Two massive Group 1s head the card. The Champions Mile and the Chairman's Sprint Prize. And the Aussies aren't there for a holiday. Can Boat Creek measure up to Japanese giant killer Maurice in the mile? And what about our world-class speedsters Chautauqua and Buffery? Could it be an Aussie 1-2 in the sprint? Find out when the Sky Racing Network brings you all the Sha Tin action today from 2:30. Get on at your local TAB or at tab.com.au.
Master builders train the best builders. The best builders look after their clients and deliver quality buildings. With the best licensed and experienced builders as our trainers, the Master Builders training programs are delivered by the industry for the industry. Courses are offered either in classrooms, self-paced learning in your own home, or by recognition of your existing skills and experience. Enrol today to become a Master Builder. Call 8586 3588 or Google MBA NSW.
Z&Z Jewellers have been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. Jimmy, for more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches and rings. Z&Z were the original designers and makers of the grand final rings for 17 years. So, if you want the official watch of your team, or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, do what the NRL does. See Alan at Z&Z Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au. They are proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and St George Junior referees.
Sundays just don't feel right without a dose of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
Who does he sing for? I don't think there's any doubt. He wore his Wanderers jersey on the Punters Club the other day, or the Punting Club, sorry, Andy Pascalese, I believe, ensconced over there in the city of churches,
surely,
and has an official capacity today at the A-League Grand Final. Good morning, Andy Pascalides.
Good morning. And look, just in case it is the last time I'm on air anywhere, because if I do the ground announcing and the Wanderers win and I do the shout-out for the Wanderers as I do at Parramatta Stadium, I might have to wear a cricket helmet at Adelaide Oval, Jim.
You mightn't get out alive, Andy. And look, massive game today, and the build-up's been enormous. Can we take you back to last weekend, and what a game, 5-4, one of the great games.
It really was. And you know what, you reflect back on the season that's been for both the Wanderers and Adelaide, and it's hard to imagine after round 8 when Adelaide were bottom of the league that I'd be sitting here talking to you grand final day in a hotel room in Adelaide.
Mm.
Conversely, you know, the Wanderers didn't have the best start. Remember the high rotation of players. And
yeah,
speaking to Zeljko Kalats last night about it, it's a policy basically where those players, they either sink or swim with Popovich's way of doing things and organising a team on the pitch and consistency of performance. And that's why there was that turnover. And credit to Tony. I had my reservations, I've got to admit, guys.
17 new players, wasn't it, Andy?
Yeah. The thing that makes me believe that the Wanderers can do it today is they faced adversity last week. And to come back from 3-0 down and to do a Brisbane on Brisbane, in a sense, it gives you the hope that even if they do face a testing period, and they will, no doubt about it today, in front of 50,000, that they can rebound, that they know that they can come back.
Mm.
And they've got some really good offensive weapons at the moment doing a great job. And look at what Mitch Nichols is doing. Look what Santelab. What about Romeo Castellin getting that hat-trick last week?
He's a superstar.
I love watching him play because as soon as he gets the ball, he just seems to be a metre ahead of everyone else.
He's so quick. His speed is noticeable. You know, he's that much quicker than everyone else. His speed is noticeable. Mm. Castellani's...
If he has the game of his life, they win, simply. I don't want to put pressure on one player, but what he does and the way the system works for Adelaide is they attack like a three-pronged attack from the middle, You know, you've got your Bridge, you've got your Santelab, you've got Castellan on the right. Now, when you attack with three players, defensively you've got to reorganise and play with at least four defenders, two in the guts and two on the flank to nullify the wide players. So that opens up the midfield. And if they move the ball quickly and have high transition and possession, they can do a job today.
Andy, and I know this is probably, Wanderers fans might not want to hear this, but how long does Tony Popovic stick around? Because he is a manager in demand.
And there were the rumours, weren't there, when Crystal Palace were looking for a new manager and he'd been there as an assistant. Look, one thing I can tell you, his family are well and truly settled. He wants his children to be raised here, the school system and everything else, and family means a hell of a lot. And, you know, you think about the west of Sydney, and I can't tell you, talking to different people, Mark Bridge, his family are driving across, or have driven across, I should say, should be here. Zelko Kalitz is a boy from the west of Sydney, right, Popper? His father arrives this morning at the airport yesterday. It was just such a great vibe to travel with Wanderers fans, and just the spirit. There was no element of drunken and disorderly behaviour. Just singing, even on the airlines. It's just a great vibe. Grand final day. Can you believe it? You know, this is the fourth major final for the Wanderers in just 4 years of existence. And God help us if we don't get across the line, because, you know, this proverbial monkey on the back of both teams. Remember, this is the third appearance for Adelaide.
Exactly.
As well.
They're going for 0-3 both, yeah. Andy, before I get to the EPL, can I put you on the spot then? Who wins, why, and potential scoreline?
First goal scorer.
You know, I was trying to work out first goal scorer the other day. I was looking at the markets in regards to Bridge, Santelab and Digite. For mine, Santelab at $8.50. He's shown us he's not super sub anymore. He's a starter. And maybe that Santelab is the man that might do it. And they've got to play for 90 minutes. It's pointless. They can't afford to concede like they did last week, and they won't. So that'll tighten up everything. The defence will certainly work. And I'm looking forward to players like Scott Jamieson stepping up. Players, yeah, Mark Bridge, fifth grand final in 11 years of A-League football.
$7.50, Mark Bridge, first try, first goal scorer. Brendan Santelab, $8.50.
Digite
is $7 equal favourite with Sergio Cirio.
Cirio. Yeah.
Pablo Sanchez is $7.50.
Yeah, someone was telling me last night Karuska's going to be the player that wins it for Adelaide, but I think it'll come out of those three, and perhaps Santa can do it.
All right, $2.20 Adelaide, $3 Western Sydney, draw $3.75.
My fear is extra time, Jim, to be honest, and they're expecting a goal avalanche here, so look at your plus 2.5 option as well.
Okay. All right, let's get to some EPL. Six games tonight, Jimmy. What's going on with Arsene Wenger at Arsenal? They had a win and he gets booed.
Yeah, look, the fans put up signs, time for change, and ironically they did it at the 12-minute mark and then with 12 minutes to go, and I was trying to work out, I was watching a bit of this game, and I was trying to work out what that was about, but there again, it's 12 years since they won the English Premier League, so they did get up, they move up to third position, 2 points behind Tottenham. They're obviously well on the hunt for Champions League football next year, but the fans have had enough. It was a late game after some good performances overnight, guys. Newcastle United moved out of the relegation zone. 1-0 over Mille again next Crystal Palace, and Johan Cabay fluffed up a penalty in the 70th, and Mille did play a full game. The Magpies unbeaten in four. West Ham again, 3-0 away at West Brom, looked very good. Watford beat Aston Villa 3-2. Sad for Aston Villa, guys. 11 losses in a row. This was their club record. And that was set way back in 1963. But tonight, gents, it's all about Man United and Leicester.
Leicester can get the job done if they win, Andy.
Well, I've got to be honest with you. I'm expecting a draw in this one. It was a game that I think Man United can postpone or hold back Leicester's celebrations. I'm hoping that will happen next week at home. But I think the draw, and actually my wild card comes out of this one, Martial's first scorer at $6.50. He's put away 14 goals this season, equal top scorer with Wayne Rooney. and also the other games, Southampton v Man City and Swansea against Liverpool. I think Liverpool will get there, and Southampton will certainly test Man City. Gee, on that one, don't be surprised if that's a draw as well.
Okay. All eyes on the Adelaide Oval today. We're looking forward to that game. Good luck, Andy. Hope you have a win from your point of view and you get out safely in front of that crowd.
Conditions are good, guys. It's about 12 degrees. I expect the top of 20.
Right.
And the sun is out there. A bit of overcast conditions at the moment. I expect some rain this morning. But then it'll be right on over from the, I don't know which end, the cathedral.
Bowell. Bowell.
Enjoy it, Andy.
Andy Pascaletti's there, our footballing superstar here on Sky Sports Radio, 1353 53. That's the number, Ray, that you should call now if you would like to take part in the ZNZ quiz. Your chance to win a ZNZ watch in the team colours of your choice. Just a little score update on that one.
Is it 11-6?
Well done. 11-6, yeah. So call now if you want to be in your chance to win a watch in the colours of your choice, courtesy of ZNZ, 1353 53.
Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompt. It's that easy. Are you ready for the 2016 Emirates Park Scone Cup Carnival?
Friday, May 13th features the Cup and the English 2-year-old Challenge. Saturday, the 14th is Scone's standalone race day, highlighted by the English 3-year-old Guineas and the Daly Dark Jewel Classic.
Plus fashion, music, fun and the finest hospitality.
Book your hospitality package or race day tickets now at sconeraceclub.com.au and be trackside at Scone for city class racing country style. May 13 and 14.
On Sky Sports Radio, your weekend is packed with sporting news from around the country and around the world. This is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
All right, here we go. I'm opening the batting this morning. Rod from Berkeley Vale. Now, Berkeley Vale, is this up on the Central Coast?
Yeah, between Terrigal and the entrance, Jimmy.
Oh, very nice.
Nice part of the world,
yeah,
Jim.
Good part of the world. All right, Rod, let's go. You're up. Okay. Question one. Who do the Titans play in the NRL today? Is it the Storm, the Warriors, or the Dragons?
That would be the Storm.
That would be correct. Well done. Which team scored the least amount of points in round eight? Was it the Tigers, the Warriors, or the Knights?
The Knights.
We're in round nine now. Round eight was last game, and that was the
Melbourne
Warriors
game?
on 0 points. Yeah. All right. Question three. Which of these teams has the was the highest on the ladder heading into round nine? Was it the Seagulls, the Dragons, or the Titans?
Sorry, Jimmy, can you repeat that, mate?
Which of these teams was highest on the ladder heading into round nine? Was it the Seagulls, the Dragons, or the Titans?
Sorry, mate, that would be the Titans.
No, they're in 10th spot, the Dragons in 9th spot, the Seagulls in 8th spot. One from three. Rod, stay on the line, mate.
Now, and Nick is playing. Well, Nick, good morning.
Hey, Ray, Jimmy.
Nick, in one to tie, two to win, Nick, so best of luck.
Hope things go badly for you, Nick.
Nah, come on, Jimmy, you can't say those things. All the best, Nick. Here we go. Question number one. Who do the Sharks play in the NRL today? Is it the Broncos, the Panthers, or the Raiders?
Broncos.
Good
solid
game,
start.
It's going to be a good game.
This is for the game. Which team scored the most points in round eight? Was it the Storm, the Raiders, or the Cowboys?
Oh, the Raiders.
Outstanding. I got the 60 points to 6 win. Well done, Nick. You've
flinched
them 2-0. Nick, from County Heights, what's your team, Nick?
South Sydney.
South Sydney, oh. They're struggling
sure
a little bit.
You sure you want a Rabbitohs watch, Nick?
I don't know. I've already got one.
No, make it a gift for someone, Nick. I'm sure there's someone in the family that will like it.
Plenty of South supporters.
Yeah,
exactly.
Good stuff.
No, stay
good
solid, Nick. They'll turn it around.
Well done, Nick.
Congratulations.
You stay on the line, mate. We'll get your details.
Score check update, Jimmy.
Yeah, well, score
creeping
check update.
Creeping back
there
into
we go.
It now.
Yeah, good. Just won't quit, will you, Raymond?
No, the Roosters are fight back started.
11-7. Now, see, this is the problem that I have. Why
Which
does,
is?
Well, why does producer Jeremy start celebrating when your person wins? See?
We're one team here, Jim.
Yeah, exactly. One team. It's you and Jeremy. And then, unfortunately, it's the I'm up against you all.
We're all one team, Jimmy.
Well done, Nick. You stay on the line. We have got the ZNZ watch coming out in the South Sydney colours. The Cardinal and Myrtle coming out your way. Well done on that one. And as you say, a little score update. 11-7 up next, Zorba.
On your sport and your team, you're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend on Sky Sports Radio.
An incredibly tumultuous week in rugby league, on the field, off the field, in the bunker, out of the bunker. And you could expect that to continue, you would imagine, throughout the course of today as well. There are some big games remaining, three matches remaining. We've got a test side that's to be announced. We've got a test side that's been announced. And we want to get Zorba's thoughts on all of that and a lot more. And he's been good enough to join us on the line, as he does every Sunday here on Sky Sports Radio. Morning, Zorb.
Good morning, boys. Well, where do we start?
Oh, okay, well, let's start with the return of Mitchell Pearce last night. I didn't see the game. I listened to it in the car on the way home from Bathurst, but from all reports, gets the three Dally M points and was outstanding.
Well, Mitchell Pearce learned a lesson last night that fans do forgive and forget in rugby league and in sport. How ironic that the week Pearce came back from his own off-field personal drama, his great lifelong mate, Kieran Foran, and these kids grew up together on on the north shore of Sydney, around Asquith and St Ives, where they lived. And Foran's had to temporarily walk away from the game for his own personal reasons. Ironically, on the weekend that that Pearcey came back, Pearce was good in the Roosters' 38-0 win over over Newcastle. And I know you guys and everybody in rugby league wishes Kieran all the best. What, I can't believe some of the scurrilous rumours coming out of the mouths and out of the tablets of people who think they know what's going on and they don't.
It's all about, you know, I said it at the start of the show. I look at someone like Kieran Foran. He's like the model citizen you want as a person and as a footballer for the National Rugby League. I've got so much admiration for him. You know him very, very well. What was your thoughts when you heard the news that he was doing it so tough and had the issue with the prescription drugs?
I was stunned.
Yeah.
Because I, look, I know he bottles things up and I know he's had some tough times of late personally, and that's, you know, a lot of people go through that. It's how they handle it, and he stored it up and it eventually was too much for him. He's in a good place now in Queensland, getting the best treatment, and he's got his teammates and his friends just wishing him all the best. And I know he'll come back from it. I know he'll give Parramatta everything he's got when he does come back. But boy, how good are they, Parra? How tough are they? Will they fold when their world comes down on them this week? More drama starts tomorrow night. It's never ending out there.
Yeah.
Leagues club elections, the drama just doesn't stop. And then, of course, they've got that big hammer from the NRL just waiting to drop on them.
What do you think it'll be, Zorb?
Pardon?
What do you think it'll be?
Oh, I think it'll be more than enough points to rule them out of playing finals football.
I agree.
This year. And in a lot of ways, that's a shame, but there's other clubs now looking at Parra saying, well, how much extra have they put on their cap to give them a side that they've got that's playing as well as it's playing now?
Looks like next week they might bring that hammer down, as you said, Zorb, on Parramatta. Is that your mail?
Yeah, it is. It could even be at the end of this week. I think they're just... You could hear the papers rattling. They need to do something out of NRL headquarters at the moment. I mean, the game's under fire. I did my own personal examination amongst the fans on Anzac Day. I sat in the crowd in Newcastle. I haven't done it for a while. And
did you get pelted with anything?
What's that?
Did you get pelted with anything?
No, I didn't actually. They're nice people in Newcastle, and it was. They know what a great job the Greeks did during the war when we catered for lots of people. Anyway, I did my own survey on the bunker, and I didn't ask them questions. I just listened. Those at the ground, they hate it, boys.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
It's taken the thrill of watching an exciting game away from them.
Mm.
They spend most of the game looking at the big screen. The NRL better watch out that fans don't do that and just stay at home, and players in the future will perform to near-empty stadiums.
Mm.
We're going to bigger stadiums. Well, if we continue down this path and we don't do something, modify it, do something, people don't like it, players don't like it, you may as well not have referees, may as well have robots refereeing.
Yes.
It is a lot more serious than we thought.
So what needs to be done then to the bunker?
It needs to just scale back.
Yes.
Yep.
Just give the bunker certain issues that they deal on and
yep.
nothing else.
100%.
Agree. Because it's changing the, you know, Ricky Stewart said it in the press conference, the referees aren't making decisions because they don't have to. Mm. They've got a crop.
Let's go straight upstairs.
In the bunker. Mm. And then the other thing, Zorb, and I know, look, Jamie Lyon, he's had an amazing career, but that last night, it's a dead set dive, but it worked for him.
Yeah, I mean, look, Killer's the nicest bloke in the game just about. He's shown that for so long. And for him to just put a smile on his face and say, you know, you've just got to do what you've got to do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Look. Gee, I saw a clinical side last night. How good are they, Cowboys?
First half, they were perfect, weren't they, just about?
Well, Manly legged them up by giving cheap
four penalties
to let them get out of their own territory, and then they just went to work. But, you know, when you look at them, the same 17 that won the grand final last year, here we are, 2 months into a new season, and they haven't had to change their side. It is unbelievable.
Yeah, they are playing So I know you've got some very definite views on today's big game, Sharks versus the Broncos. The Broncos get to play in daylight for a change.
I think this is a rarity in rugby league. I think people should not take anything else today but a camera and take a shot, a rare shot of a Bronco in daylight playing football. They might have to play in sunglasses, although they might have to have windscreen wipers on today. Look, they are going in. I can't wait for this game. I cannot wait for kickoff. Sharks versus Broncos today. I've looked forward to this game for weeks. The teacher's pets of rugby league versus the bully boys in the bully boys' backyard. Fifita versus Maguire. How good's that going to be? Maguire in the Australian side. Fifita playing well enough to get in, but didn't.
Yes.
I cannot wait. I think I'm tipping the Sharks today to spring an upset. I think the Broncos have had everything their own way today. They'll meet a side that's hungry, that's in form. They've won 5 on the trot. They've got a good, strong, experienced pack of forwards. They've got enough skill in their back line to worry the Broncos. They will be knocking Milford over at every chance they get, and they will be giving him plenty. They'll do the same to Hunt, and it will be a game to be remembered today. I just hope that my expectations aren't too high for this game, but I like the Sharks. I think They're my specials. I've been saying for weeks that I think this will be a game that lets us know just how good the Broncos are. Mm. I know how good the Cowboys are. They are the test. They're a better side than the Broncos. We'll see how good the Broncos are today, because if they walk away from Shark Park today with a win, then they are going to be very, very hard to beat in this competition. This is a semi-final come early.
July, the last time the Broncos played a daytime match. And in that time, the Sharks have played 12, winning 11. So, Zorba, speaking of Anthony Milford, Wayne Bennett's comments during the week, he's not playing for Samoa, and I'm not going to tell you why. What was his comment?
I don't care what people think.
I thought that was so disappointing for someone who's a fan of the international game.
Me too. I mean, you know, Wayne has his views and they're not always aligned with what we think. I think that's a greedy call.
Mm.
Anthony Milford, and I think that you know, we've seen the reaction from Semi Rudradra's selection. And I think we should be looked at in our game as being very, very selfish. Australia is a stronghold of rugby league. We're doing absolutely nothing. We don't give money
yes.
in any way. We don't support these players are gems that we're getting out of the South Pacific, and all we're doing is just taking the gems and not giving any money back.
I agree. Good point, Sorb. Sorb, just on the Kangaroos, and what did you make of the squad?
Well, I've made my point clear about Darius Boyd. I cannot accept that he's the best fullback in the game.
Agreed.
I think we'll see that today. Look, he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player, but I think we've got lots of I named them last week, of guys that I think are better. And talking about fullbacks, what a shame James Tedesco is not going to get a chance to make the New South Wales side. Now, that's going to be interesting. Maybe young Lachlan Coote comes into consideration there. It's going to be interesting. There are some bolters in the City squad, none bigger than Adam Fanua Blake, who most of our listeners won't know, but I understand he might grab a spot on the bench in the City side to play country next week.
You're kidding. And this comes back to availability.
Well, I suppose so.
Yeah, it does.
It does. But there's lots of good young players, and boy, football this weekend's been exciting. Panthers 19 against the Raiders 18. That was a terrific game.
The Cardiac Kids, Pete.
Oh.
Penrith.
Yeah, they're going to be a good football side.
Yeah.
I know that. And it just goes to show you, the kicking in the game is so important now. I watched the Master last night. The way he kicks the football makes it do some amazing things. Jumps up in the air, stops, and, players come through and they're supporting him. It's just joy to watch that football side. I mean, we got smashed last night, I think, in the end, 34-18. But at full strength, playing well, we would give the Cowboys a shake. But last night, it was a masterclass.
Yeah. Zorba, we'll get you that very shortly. I know you want to have your say on Anzac Day. A lot of action there.
Yeah, certainly. I thought Anzac Day was great for rugby league. It was something special. And as I said, did my own survey, and it was lovely being amongst the crowd again. And I can tell you that they just had enough, and that's what came out of Anzac Day for me. But I want to applaud the league for giving the game on Anzac Day the reverence that it deserved.
I like the national anthem of New Zealand being played as well, too.
I sing that song.
It's a great anthem.
It's inspirational,
Inspirational.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
My country, but I think our national anthem pales into significance.
Concur fully.
Yep.
Warriors, Dragons.
Storm, yeah.
Pardon?
Let's get your zapper.
Okay. Look, Warriors, he's had to drop six, McFadden. Who's going to be first coach to go? I think him.
Okay.
Him. Dragons should win that one. Storm and the Sharkies, all at the line.
Okay, so you've got the Dragons minus 3.5. That's into $1.85. You've got the Storm minus 4.5. That's $2.10. And the Sharkies plus the 1.5. Or you want to go head-to-head?
What's the price there?
$2.05.
Yeah, go there.
Yeah, get on the Sharkies head-to-head. I'm with you on that one. All right, we'll go the Sharkies to beat the Broncos. $2.05. Zorb, fantastic. We'll speak again next week.
Okay, let's hope this week isn't as hectic as the last one.
Yeah, well, it was on the field and off the field. Incredible.
We didn't get a chance to talk about how Souths are going, but big story coming out of there is that they went to Townsville, got back on the Saturday after they got beaten up there, and then they were evidently really flogged at training on the Sunday. A lot of players not happy.
Watch
recurring
that space.
Themes,
yeah,
Zorb,
yeah. Well, very interesting. Yeah. Good on you, Zorb.
Thanks, Zorb.
See you, boys.
Peter Peters with all the latest there from a rugby league point of view. For the first time this morning, we say good morning to Tanya with all the scratchings around New South Wales. Morning, Tan.
Thanks, Jimmy. Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales at Mudgee and Sapphire Coast. Starting with Mudgee, where the weather is raining. The track, a soft 6, rail true and 21 scratchings. Out of race 1, take 2, Electric Horseman and 8, So Joyous, 2 and 8. Race 2, number 1, Crop Tour, 7 Trades Hall and 10 Youthful Joe, 1, 7 and 10. Out of the third, number 5, Belantes and 7, Chappie's Dream, 5 and 7. To race 4, take out 4, Murta Cape and 10, Kate's Pearl, 4 and 10 from race 4. Out of the fifth, number 1, Local Hero, 2, London Lady, 3, Dane DeLargo, 4, Krashtachatik, and 7, Coolotta. 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 7 from race 5. Out of the 6, number 7, your one and only number 7. Out of the 7th, number 7, Go Dragon. 12, Spinning Dawn, and 15, Captain Scott. 7, 12, and 15. And out of race 8, number 2, Miss Interiors. 7, Artistic Beauty, and 8, Moss My Name. 2, 7, and 8 from race 8 at Mudgee. Sapphire Coast, the weather is overcast, the track a good 4, rail true, penetrometer 3.75 and 9 scratchings. Race 1, take out 5, Cop Aonic, 5 from the first. Race 2, number 10, Cliff, take out 10 from race 2. Race 3 is clear. Out of the 4th, number 10, Sniff It Out, number 10 from race 4. Out of the 5th, 1, Rimu, and 5, Cosmic Blast, 1 and 5. Race 6, number 3, Shoulder Charge, and 10, Cosmic Raider, 3 and 10 from the 6th. And race 7, number 2, Svavarsan, and 5, Bella Miss. Take out 2 and 5 from race 7 at Sapphire Coast. Raymondu.
Yeah, a couple of tips today. 10 at Mudgee in race 4, number 9, Honey Cara. And in the Guri Cup, Jimmy, race 7, number 5, Are You Sure? Very hard to beat. And at the Sapphire Coast this afternoon, we have to wait for the last race. Race 7, number 4, Abington Threat.
Race 7, number 4, Abington Threat is an $11 chance. A bit of value there, Raymond.
Each way chance there, Jimmy.
Race 4, number 9, Honey Cara, $3.50. And race 7, number 5, Are You Sure? In is a $7 chance.
Guri Cup.
Appreciate that. Bag the Bulldogs all you like, you bent-nosed twit. The Bondi Hens are still only 15th. Glass houses, you clown. Miss Sophie at Stratford.
CD go. For Sophie?
No way. I'm not giving him any.